Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And welcome to the program for this Tuesday evening, the 30th day of March, only one day left in the month. And then we get down to the business of April. April is, after all, the cruelest month. Of course it is. But anyway, but we're almost done. We're almost done with March. And this is Tuesday, so therefore it is a technically unthemed show. You know what I mean? That's a squeaky thing. Okay, it may have to go out of the technical. It's a windscreen. Yeah, phooey. Well, I may have to ditch it. It's squeaky things. Hey, look, we're on the air. I'm just grateful. Okay? Everything worked. No, it's an unthemed evening, and there's lots of places we can go. But I don't know. Sometimes it's too. I worry sometimes it's too easy, these things. I worry that, you know, the show is writing itself, you know, just by right wingers being right wingers. But I'm sorry. I'm just like a trout rising to a mayfly on a breezy spring afternoon. You know, it's going to happen. Sue, tell the cat that it is welcome to the squeaky thing. Maybe it sounds like a mouse. I don't know. Okay, all better. Maybe it'll stay put. Who knows? Oh, and hey, before I get too far into the program, a big congratulations and a shout out to our dear friends Mike and Kathy Malloy for an excellent job with the Malloy cast last night. If you're not checking it out over at Ustream. Yes, you should be. It's just kind of fun to watch Mike work with the occasional "Hi, how are you?" into the screen from Kathy. They did a great job. They did a truly great job. It was a solid picture all the way through. And for doing it on the fly, wow, just wow. I can't imagine. Sooner or later I'll be trying to do that here, but there's going to have to be some spring cleaning. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. We're going to have to do some spring cleaning. Can't get around it. And because I've just about run myself out of my own studio. Just have to. And you know, it's not anything nasty. It's just, you know, the books that go into doing the show and computer equipment and audio equipment and, you know what I mean? Yeah, I figured you did. Agnes and I were talking about some interior decor ideas earlier today for making this more camera friendly. Although, I don't know. Instead of having a nice, my world, my mind is not nice and tidy and orderly. And the world around me sort of reflects that, frankly. There's pictures and flashlights and screwdrivers and drive-by truckers' cozies. And let's see, I've got this. This is one of my favorites here, apart from my gargoyle buddies. They will have to remain in the shot. This was sent to me by David in Tennessee some long time back, and it's apparently a printing error from, you know, those cup companies that, you know, your name here, your organization here, and you give away the plastic cups. This is from the Cornerstone Community Church at 6639 St. Mary's Road, Floyd's Knobs, Indiana. I just don't want to go to Floyd's Knobs, Indiana. It's probably, for all I know, that's where the Hooteries are. And a website. But on the obverse side from I've already got a camera because I'm rotating it to show the people at home. On the obverse of the cup, from Cornerstone Community Church of Floyd's Knobs, Indiana, is the phrase, need field up. You'd almost think that came from the Diocese of Milwaukee. Bad, Bob. Bad. Bad, bad liberal talk show host. Bad. That was cheap and easy, and you shouldn't have gone for it. But yeah, it's one of my favorite little gym cracks around here. Need field up? And it's always there to remind me any time I'm feeling spiritually low that I can always go to the Cornerstone Community Church of Floyd's Knobs, Indiana, and get field up. I don't know how Agnes would feel about that. But anyway, it got me thinking along those lines. And I'm still full of trepidation at the idea of doing video. Made the cat jump again. We will get to it. Because apparently, just looking from the numbers of people that went over to see the Malloy show, golly Moses, everybody wants to watch a single camera static shot, I imagine Mike is probably as baffled by that as I am, but, if that's what you guys want, you're running this show. You're the reason this thing's still going on, and you will get what you want, and you've said you want video, so that's what we'll work on. So enough of that. Time to get into the program. It's about 7 minutes past the hour, and like I said, sometimes it's just too easy. It is just too easy, but I found out earlier today, via C-SPAN, I found out exactly what's wrong with America. Yes, yes, I did. And I'm going to share it with you. Cranky people apparently get up early in the morning to call C-SPAN. And there's always some semi-comatose white guy sitting there taking calls, again, on a single static camera shot. Somebody called James Cameron. All that business with Avatar and the multiple cameras and the CGI and everything, forget that. One camera will do. At least with Wingnuts. Because the Wingnuts get up early to call the C-SPAN line and tell them what's wrong with America. And there's no difference in this instance either. You want to hear what's wrong with America? Well, right here, calling from North Carolina, we got what's wrong with America. Probably a Duke fan. Anytime now.
Let's hear from St. Paul's, North Carolina. Bill's a Republican caller.
Yeah, I'd like to make a little respectful criticism here about C-SPAN. The last two guys I know were white guys, but you have black folks calling in on the Republican line, independents, and you have so many of them, I can't believe this is just an accident. If you keep on...
This is not a boating accident! We're going to have to get a bigger boat. We got too many of them. No, back up for a minute. I don't want to just run past this. It's 2010. It is 2010. We ought to, if everything was going right, we ought to be sitting anxiously by our televisions at this point in time, waiting for the manned landing on Mars. We ought to, all the stuff that comes with the Donald Fagen music that I like to play periodically. What a wonderful world this with the undersea, New York to Paris, undersea by rail. Instead, we got Mervis from St. Paul's, North Carolina, who's trying to be real reasonable, even though it's right early in the morning. And I swear to God, listen early on. You can hear him take a swig off the jug.
North Carolina, Bill's a Republican caller.
Come on, Bill.
Yeah, I'd like to make a little respectful criticism here about C-SPAN. The last two guys I know were white guys.
And you know that how, Bill? How do you know that? Well, I don't have the benefit of the clip. I don't hear the previous two guys say, "Good morning, I'm a white man calling to talk about what's wrong with America on the Republican line." I know they were white men. See, Bill doesn't understand that speech may be modified by the speaker in order to create any number of dialects or accents. Black people talk like black people. They just do. They can't help it. They aren't like magic white people who can alter their dialect. Now, I know they was white people. You know, I could hear the Christianity in their voices. That's how I know they's white people. I could just hear their abiding love for George W. Bush. That's how I know he's white.
But you have black...
Did we miss the swig? Wait a minute.
Yeah, I'd like to make a little respectful criticism here about C-SPAN. The last two guys I know were white guys. But you have black folks calling in on the Republican line, independents, and you have so many of them, I can't believe this is just an accident. If you keep on with the way you've been programming...
What's going to happen if they keep on with the way they've been programming, Bill? Tell us about it, brother!
You should change your name from C-SPAN to Blackspan.
Oh, my gracious, absolutely! You know, whatever happened to the good old days in America when we had whites-only broadcasting? You know who I blame it on? I blame it on that Captain Kirk. If he hadn't kissed that Uhuru woman on that Star Trek program, none of this never would have happened. Him and that Robert Culp. That Robert Culp went and made that Bill Cosby a star and everything. Next thing you know, we got little Negro cartoons on in the morning featuring an overweight black boy. That's when America went to hell. You done took away our C-SPAN. And now it ain't nothing but black span. I want to take my country back.
I mean, I know they have an opinion, but I wish...
I know! They got an opinion. You can't turn around for them handing you their opinion. Out there expressing their freedom of speech like they think they got a right to talk to good, upright, decent, upstanding white people like me right here in St. Paul's, North Carolina. Oh, I tell you, I weep for my country.
They would be honest and call in on the right...
See, that's how it is. They're not honest. They're not calling in on the right line. If they's being honest, they'd be calling in on the dark skin line, you know, Democrats or whatever that is that they's calling themselves these days. Because God knows they wouldn't be calling no Republican line. And I mean, to think of it, you know, I know they calls themselves independent, but an independent black person, come. Some days it's just hard to stay out of the jug when you get up in the morning. They beat all. You know that? They just beat all.
Line. I can't believe this is just an accident. If you keep on with the way you've been programming, you should change your name from C-SPAN to Blackspan. I mean, I know they have an opinion, but I wish that they would be honest and call in on the right line.
See, they can't even understand. We give them all them freedoms, and they don't even understand how to dial a teller phone. Look what's happening to our country.
One of them thinks that Obama is Jesus Christ, and they don't like him.
And we know he ain't. Hell, we know it's just the opposite. They think he's Jesus Christ. Well, you know, that's what it says in the Bible, in the prophecies. It does. It says, the sun and the moon shall be blotted out, and darkness shall rule over the face of the earth. What do they think that means? That darkness is going to be ruling over the face of the earth. I know what it means. You know what it means. it's Obama. They think he's Jesus Christ, but we know he's the Antichrist. Is right there. It's right there. They done took a poll of Americans, and all kinds of Americans know that Obama's the Antichrist. I don't know what we're going to do about this country. This country used to be so great, but now it ain't great no more. Because they won't shut up about him being Jesus Christ. And they won't let you tell him that he's not. That start calling you racist and bigot.
Programming, you should change your name from C-SPAN to Blackspan. I mean, I know they have an opinion, but I wish that they would be honest and call in on the right line. Every one of them thinks that Obama is Jesus Christ, and they don't like when anybody criticizes him. Well, I didn't hear all this.
There it was! Did you hear the swig from the jug? I didn't hear all this. Just wonder what the proof is on that stuff when it comes off the still there, Clyde or Bill. I didn't hear all this. Let's see what he didn't hear.
Well, I didn't hear all this anger when George Bush was in. I mean, all they did was criticize George Bush every day. You'd hear, he lied, all this stuff.
Well, Bill, I understand that you have a deep and abiding ability to tolerate all manner of things from people just so long as they's nice and shiny and white. But, Bill, George Bush did lie. He lied a lot. He lied so much that you couldn't sort through the lies to get to the truth. What didn't he lie about, Bill? I mean, remember all that Saddam's got smoking gun weapons, mushroom cloud, too late, can't wait, gotta root 'em out, axles of evil bullshit? He lied, Bill. He did. He lied. Even, I understand it's hard to get your head around. He lied, even though he's white. Yes, sometimes white men have forked tongues. Lots of forked tongues. Sometimes white man's tongue is so forked he's like a damn hydra out of some sort of Greek mythology. Really.
And I don't know how so many of these folks, if they're 10% or 12% of the population, seems to be 80% of your callers. Now, I don't know what you can do about it, but...
I don't know what you can do. Is there any, can you have a cross burning on the C-SPAN there? Maybe that's what you need there at Blackspan. You need to have you on-air cross-burning. Maybe that'd run some of them off away from your good otherwise white cable viewing network. I don't know what you can do, but there can't be that many of them.
Memo to Bill in St. Paul's, North Carolina. This may actually be the year. With the census going on right now, this may actually be the year that white peoples become a minority in America. And you know what, Bill? All them white peoples that you run with that's afraid that the government's out to get them, and you're not going to fill out your census on account of it, you're making it worse. You're making it look like the country's less white than what it is, and you do want us to all understand how white America is, don't you, Bill? Oopsie.
I'm just about ready, and I think a lot of other Republicans and conservatives are just about ready just to go somewhere else.
Do, Bill, please. Find you a nice white country.
nice white country where that'll have you, mind you, because I don't think you're going to get to go to Sweden, and because they got that socialized medicine, so does Norway, and I don't think Iceland wants you. What's left of Greenland that ain't melted don't want you. Where are you going to go? That's not. You don't even have South Africa anymore, Bill. Mars needs Republicans. What did I say earlier? We should be sitting around. It's 2010. We should be waiting for the first manned mission to land on Mars. Bill should have been on it. He absolutely should have been on it. Because, see, it ain't a white planet, Bill. There's nowhere for you to... You think Canada will have you? Canada don't want you. I reckon you could move up with Sarah Palin in Alaska and stuff, but you're going to, you know, even her husband, he's got some native Merkin in him. Where are you going to go, Bill? I mean, I want you to go there, but where are you going to go? Russia. I don't think that's going to work for you either, Bill. You might run up against some real mean white people when you get that didn't want to put up with your BS. Antarctica? I mean, I know you're... That's cold. Australia don't want you. New Zealand doesn't want you. You don't want to go to Japan or India or any of them African countries, do you? I don't think so. Oh, you got a problem, Bill.
Well, Bill, I understand your frustration. We open up our phone lines with categories Republican, Democrat, and Independent or other, and hope that folks call in with the on the line that best reflects their political view. It is tough sometimes to discern that. We appreciate your input.
Yeah, thank you very much for clearing that up for Bill. Jesus criminy. 2010. It's 2010. Oh, yeah, by the way, an update. We played the audio from that book banning story in Texas. That was 2006. Our buddy Lee down in Texas did a little research. So what? It was 2006. Don't make much difference. I would guess with the Texas school board's decisions about the teaching of history, that things haven't gotten any more progressive or enlightened. Nope. 2010, and this is what we're still contending with. Now, there's lots of other stuff, out there this evening. But it's kind of hard to get around this when this is what is shaping the nature of the debate in this country. It's positively loony. And you know, the News Ninja Gene points out something. He said, I'm sorry, but that sounded like the C-SPAN host validated Bill's position. And that's the problem. If you watch the video, he's doing a little head nodding. Because he's probably taking it all fun out of it for him, too. No, there's a lot of stuff to go into this evening. But it kind of has to start there, because these are the jackasses that are making it hard to fix America. I mean, really. And if you you want some more jackass? Now, this is an older clip, but it's a montage. We've had some fun with Victoria Jackson on the program in the past.
But this brings us, this is an older montage that comes right up to the present. And it starts with back during the 2008 campaign, Victoria Jackson talking to Bill O'Reilly about Obama. Okay? So, you know, strap in.
Supporting John McCain.
Well, because I think Obama is a communist. And my husband said, don't use that word, say radical or Marxist. But, you know, Karl Marx wrote the book, The Communist Manifesto. So I don't see why people are afraid to say the word communist, because I've done a lot of research. And I read the book 1984 by George Orwell twice. And I was walking through the airport, and every magazine had Obama's picture on it. Everyone. And I turned on the TV, and every channel had him on it. And it's like Castro in Cuba or the guy in China, Saddam Hussein.
But, Ms. Jackson,
like,
if you look, do you really believe that he's going to employ, Ms. Jackson, a Castro-like policies if he's in the White House?
I think we've already started sliding into socialism with the government now controlling, the liberals are controlling all of the TV channels. I mean, the only
one
telling the truth is you.
Jackson.
This is the only one we want.
So are you ready to join?
Now this is, okay, that was 2008. Flash forward to 2010. She's back on Fox, pounded on a few more pounds, and she's got this big black fluffy thing on the top of her bleach blonde head, and she's ready to go teabagging, apparently, talking to Steve Doocy on Fox. Strap in. I'm not kidding.
This is the only one we want.
So are you ready to join the Tea Party people?
I am the Tea Party people. We're beginners at this political activism, and it's all new to us, and it's kind of cute because we're shy.
This is the part where they're not cute. Somebody did a really good job with this video. We're shy, right?
Is, you know, despite what they say about us,
remember, okay, now we're just going to get through it there.
Anything like this, but we have to because the president's a communist.
Now, he is not a communist, but you just pointed out that you hold up signs and stuff like that, and people make fun of you. What do you think about how some on the other political side have tried to diminish or marginalize the Tea Party people?
Well, I guess they're afraid of the power of our passion and our numbers.
God knows we're not afraid of the power of your brains.
And, you know, you might not say communist, but I watch Glenn Beck, and he's taught me well. Progressive is the new word for communist, but it's the same goal. That's government control of everything, and it's very obvious that Obama's trying to do that. And I don't want to brag, but I sort of called it before he was elected, and when I was on O'Reilly, and I said he was a communist, and I got a lot of hate mail, but I got some that said I was prescient, which means a prophet.
Yeah. There's here's your sign. Jesus. But you'll recall the story that I shared with you, and it had been shared with me by our buddy Lee down in Tennessee, about the asshat who rear-ended, rammed another individual for having an Obama bumper sticker on his car. He was taking his 10-year-old daughter home from school when this happened over by Belmont University, Belmont College, whatever it is. Well, the Queen of Clueless, Sarah Palin, spoke to this very issue after that had happened. She at the searchlight thing, she was talking about it.
That bumper sticker you see on the next Subaru driving by, an Obama bumper sticker. You should stop that driver and say, so how's that hopey changey thing working out for ya?
They're not going to be happy until they get people shooting, and they came that close with the Hataris, or the Hooteries, or the Hutteries, whatever the hell those using equipment for Jesus crowd was. And she's sitting there inciting them to do more. So I don't mean to let this topic just take over the damn show. But can you see how it might be a little hard for it not to? This is some creepy stuff. And you're welcome to chime in with your thoughts. You know the phone number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on, 304-658-3333, if you want to do it on your nickel. Email comes in to Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, at gmail.com. Good God, all we can do is talk amongst ourselves, because as you found out last night listening to Andy's story of the simple act of trying to get a daggum haircut, you can't talk to them! They'll shout you down, scream at you, call the cops. They've got you outnumbered 4-1. They'll call the cops and tell the cops that, you know, you were threatening them. Mama. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that we've got this to work through things on, because I would go absolutely mad without you. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is the horn.
I realize, no teleprompter, time to kick it old school. Good thing I remember how to use the poor man's version of the teleprompter. It is so good to be here for the showdown in search tonight. So proud to be with all of you who are so proud to be American. God bless you.
We'll be right back. Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
This is a public service announcement.
There's a new type of music program coming to the Horn.
They wanted me about a summer or whatever. Picture me buying the scam. I said never. But I don't need the
battle call. Music for liberals. Music for activists. Music with a social conscience.
Take me down K Street.
The People's Mixtape.
Johnny's dead, and Mitch is gone, and Kelly have to lose that on the list. They get those on and on. Go dare.
Coming soon to the Head On Radio Network.
DJ Muse is all over me tonight. 21 minutes before the hour. Oh, yeah, no, it's always a good time to say goodbye to Sarah Palin, which we will do this evening. Oh, but we can't wait until it's the goodbye is forever kind of goodbye. A couple of quick emails rolling in. One, Kate writing in, oh, no, tell me she did not say Hopi and Changey. She said Hopi Changey. I think Kate heard that as H-O-P-I Hopi, which, you know, the Mussolini doesn't care who she offends. But, yeah, to stand there in the desert and holler Hopi Changey. Maybe some, no, don't anybody tell Caribou Barbie about that, because let's let her go on being just as offensive as she possibly can be. Ron and Raleigh, you know, Bob, it sure is nice to live here in post-racial America. At least that's what the Republicans are saying it is. It's grimy enough to make a robot cry. And, you know, he says, I'm by no means a Christian, but we've got to be living in the end times. As Ron White says, you can't fix stupid. Victoria Jackson is dumber than a bag of hammers. And that's the thing I couldn't figure out. Our buddy Dennis down in Kentucky sent me that video earlier today, and I watched it with my eyes crossing. Because, honest to God, I couldn't tell. It was so over the top. It was so utterly and completely ridiculous. I could not tell if she was for real. For all I could tell, she was sitting there on Fox, you know, lines like, you know, this is the only channel that we watch. I can't get my voice as high, dumb, blonde as what, because that's an act, you see. And she's been working it, milking it for years. It was all she ever had for 6 years on Saturday Night Live. She was the one of the unfunniest people ever to be on that program. And then she shows up here, what, a few days ago talking to Steve Doocy. And she, you know, I've watched Glenn Beck and I've learned a lot from him. Is he hoping that she'll revive his that he'll revive her career or something? I don't know. But honest to God, because I know she does not have the intellectual firepower to pull it off. For a minute there, you know what I was reminded of? And I hate to say it, and I'm going to get hate mail for this. I was reminded of Andy Kaufman. You know, the absolutely, you know, inside baseball shtick that he used to do that was only funny to him. You know, the stuff with Jerry Lawler and the wrestling women and the time that he went on stage, like in Arkansas or somewhere, and for an act, stood there and read them The Great Gatsby or some such. And you find yourself going, wait, this can't be, no. Because, you know, as liberals, as progressives, as decent human beings, we have minds that have a good amount, pretty high quality elasticity to them. We can stretch our minds out there and encompass a lot of different concepts. That's why we're liberals and progressives. Because you can't just sit there and wait for the past to be your salvation. But this was too much. I mean, I really did feel like I was sort of the at play in the fields of the Lord or something. Was this the biggest joke that was ever had on the teabaggers and the Fox audience? Or is this woman that damn dumb? As our critic at large, Reverbo, notes, sometimes I wonder if the world is being run by smart people who are putting us on or by imbeciles who really mean it. That Mark Twain quote was what the Victoria Jackson brought to mind for Reverbo. Sometimes I wonder if the world is being run by smart people who are putting us on or by imbeciles who really mean it. Because it was... Nobody can be that stupid. Wait a minute. Yes, they can, and Fox has the audience to prove it. Yeah, Juanita noting Hopi Changey was pretty good for Sarah. Certainly got her out of frozen Alaska. You know, even Todd couldn't bring his snow machine down to Nevada. And you know, that Hopi Changey thing, again, it's the same thing as with Victoria Jackson. Godzilla from Wasilla thinks that's cute. She thinks that's a tagline. That's her go-to phrase. Just like waving her stupid palm saying, I've got the poor man's teleprompter here, don't you know, Dear Hay? Well, no, Dear Hay, that's not wrong. But God almighty, it's stunning. It's breathtaking. Because it defies, just like, you know, Bill in St. Paul's, North Carolina. That guy can't be real. That's got to be like a yes man with a hangover or something, right? I mean, those people don't really exist in the United States of America in 2010. Because if they do, I'm going to have to start drinking tequila through a straw. Just to... You know, our buddy Dennis in Kentucky said, I just can't keep up anymore. Oi! Help! Light up the phones if you want to. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4 head on, or 304-658-3333, and we go immediately there, too. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey there, Bob.
Hey, what's up, Gene?
My brain's hurting.
Me too.
Yeah, it's funny because I was like, about an hour ago, I was reading it, you know, in my capacity as News Ninja. I go all through the internet and all this jazz.
You read the whole thing every day, we know.
Yeah, and it's like I've been running across these articles lately of on the alternate, they've got, as their top story, Naomi Klein is thinking that the Tea Party is the way to go, or is she just nuts? Well, I'm paraphrasing, but it's vaguely like that. And then I've got, last night I read Christopher Hitchens, Is America Yearning for Fascism? And he took the point that we should be reaching out to these guys and kind of, and I think I go with his spin on it more than I do with Naomi's, although it probably is both the same thing, but it's like, I'm having trouble deciding which side is the side I should be on. At least from the articles. I mean, if you read the articles and make good points, then you play, then I hear you play what you play, and it's like, I can't.
Yeah, and see, I mean, I take the opposite tack. There's nothing to reach out to there.
Well.
And even if you could, do you really want that on your side?
Not that, but it's like, Is that side all that there is? I mean, the argument that I when I read it is like, it sounds like they aren't the monolith, and it's like I'm confused. I don't know, because I feel like gee, if we don't reach out, or at least make some kind of effort, then we definitely will get that. I mean, they want to slaughter us anyway, but on the other hand, if we don't try, I mean, are we going to get slaughtered? You see my dilemma?
Yeah, I do, Gene, but I think trying is just all that does is expose us to them so that they can more easily sort us out. Because, see, they're walking around, unless they're going to a gun rally in Frankfort, Kentucky or some such, and you know, strapping on the crazy and wearing their camos and their Jesus flags and stuff. They don't stand out in the crowd. But if we reach out to them and say, well, you know, we'd like to, you know, come, let us reason together, then all we've done is told them who we are and made their job easier when they decide that Jesus is said to start slaughtering.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that. See, and understand, Gene, I'm not sitting here just making stuff up.
Oh, I know you're
not. And I'm not saying this for entertainment value. These are scary, scary, trigger-happy people. And they are highly motivated by fear and hate. And they've, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I figure you have since you do read the internet every day. The militia movement, the rest of the militia movement, I should say, is running as far and as fast as it can to get away from the Hooteries.
Oh, yeah, I've noticed.
Well, you know, we're not, I mean, they're nuts. We're not like that. Well, yeah, they are. I mean, there's not a militia member out there that didn't get a stiffy watching that video of the Hooteries setting fire to the UN flag.
I don't disagree with you.
So I don't, you know, stand up, speak up. I'm proud of what Andy did in the barbershop. But by the same token, understand that, you know, these people are, you know, they're Santa Clausing it. They're making a list and checking it twice.
Okay, then we're going to have to check our side for... We've got some, but I guess we've got more suckers on our side than we should, you know, than we should have or something. I don't know. This is very, I'm really confused, right? I find this really confusing because there are some, I mean, I guess I need to get out from behind the computer more and see what it's really like out there. Sure, they sound stupid, but at least they look like they're doing something.
Yeah, but they're not. See, they are motivated by racism, bigotry, hate, and fear. Okay? And the people who came up with the idea, and it's worth keeping in mind the genesis of the whole teabagging movement. The people who came up with that are, you know, it wasn't some grassroots guy out in, you know, out in Busted Knuckle.
Yeah,
it was the whole thing was dreamed up by a K Street marketing and lobbying firm.
I get that, although although I've also heard that they took that K Street marketing firm took it from a bunch of libertarians. Not that the libertarians are all that great, but I mean, it seems
Gene, I mean, just let me.
Okay.
See if I can lay out process here.
Okay.
One, corporate America has lots of money.
Yeah.
Corporate America knows that it has an image problem.
Yeah.
So corporate America wants to use its money in such a way to achieve the greatest result without people realizing that corporate America is the one creating the result. So what do? They hire a K Street firm, you know, that Dick Army group.
Yeah.
And then they put together this grassrootsy bigotry and fear thing based on the fact that there is a president with some 50% of his DNA has more melanin in it than the other 50% does. And they stir people up with all this don't tread on me Gadsden flag BS. But the whole motive behind it was to save insurance company's ass.
I don't disagree with you. But the argument that I'm making, though, is I see it slightly differently. Yeah, they've got all this money, and yeah, they do all this stuff. But generally speaking, they get those. I don't think they're smart enough. Those K Street types, I really don't think they're smart enough to come up with all of this on their own. I think they see stuff out in. I mean, they look at our side and they think, "Oh, that's a great meme. We'll take it."
But remember, who initiated the concept of the tea bag? It was a right wing reporter on CNBC standing in front of the New York Stock Exchange or the Chicago Board of Trade, and I can't remember what his name is right now.
Yeah, I know. I Rick Santelli is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, I know. I get that, but I mean,
he wasn't having any problem making mortgage payments when he was screaming.
I don't doubt it. But what I'm saying is that I find frustrating is I think that people that working class people are a lot more creative than we give ourselves credit for, and basically they're. One of the things that's really getting to me, and what really irritates me, is somehow that these guys have made it, they've divided working class America from itself.
But that's nothing new, Gene.
Well, okay, I know, but it's get.
I mean, that goes back 30 plus years.
I get that, but the thing of it is, it seems like it's just though. This seems. Like it's so much stronger now.
Well, just as a for instance, Gene.
Okay.
You remember the rally in Ohio where the guy with Parkinson's?
Yeah, I remember that.
And you remember how he got treated?
Yes, I remember that too.
Guess what? That's their attitude. You know, and Sue did a great job pointing because the guy with the Oxford cloth shirt and the neatly pressed khakis and the Ray-Bans. Who threw money at the dude, he said, well, I didn't realize what was going on. And Sue did a beautiful job and put it up at the horn, you know, of the photograph. You know, I didn't realize the man was sick. Well, you know, there was only a great big sign saying, I have Parkinson's in front of him. But, you know, maybe Mr. well-kept, well-pressed khaki teabagger don't read so good. That's the only explanation.
Yeah, but I guess I just feel like, do you want to write off a whole segment of society?
Well, first of all, they're not that. They're not the whole society, Gene. Not by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I don't. I'm sure they're not. But the thing of it is, they're so loud that.
But they're only loud because they are given an artificial megaphone. They've got an entire news, so-called, no, they've got an entire broadcast element devoted to them, and they've got massive amounts of corporate money, which will make a megaphone mighty loud. I mean, just consider for a moment, never mind the carbon involved, but just consider what it takes to run all those buses all the way from the Sarah Palinville all the way down to Searchlight, Nevada, and then all the way across the lower United States, and all the way to Washington, D.C., and be there by the 15th.
Yeah.
There's PR all along the way. There's messaging all along the way. There's a small army of messaging professionals involved in getting the word out so that there's an angry mob at every stop where Sarah Palin can then repeat that speech that we heard chunks of verbatim.
Then I've got to say to you then, Bob, that it looks like to me that they're pushing, they've now managed to push on the internet too. Because the people I've cited, I have some respect for, you know?
And you know, this is not to say that there are people we shouldn't be talking to. But you know what? You can't talk to them right now while the teabagging movement is in full flower. The teabagging movement is going to die of its own weight. Okay? The teabagger movement is wholly, completely, and utterly unsustainable. And I don't mean by that that they're not recycling. I mean, there's not unlimited money for it. There's another window at work here too, Gene. I don't mean to lecture. I apologize, but there is a time frame at work here. If the right wing can't get the teabagger movement to make a significant difference in enough races to actually change the outcome and give the Republicans the control of the House and Senate in 2010 in November. Then the teabagging movement will dry up like an old corn husk in the hot Nebraska sun.
Well, then it sounds to me like the best thing to do then is sit on our hands and just let this happen and not necessarily protest, because even if we try to protest, it'll get spun around against us, you know, and just let it go until...
Well, my only concern is that while it is in full toxic flower, it's going to bear poisonous fruit.
Oh, I'm sure.
And we have to be aware of them, and we have to be alert to it, and we have to see where they're going with their messaging. You know, do you think for an instant that if Sarah Palin thought she could have gotten away with it, she wouldn't have got? Do you think that Sarah Palin would call, for instance, for that mob in Searchlight to march on Harry Reid's home and burn it to the ground? I do. If she thought she could get away with it, she would.
I'm sure. You there?
Yeah, I'm right here.
Okay. I'm sure she would have. I guess my point is that I think now then that maybe because they are in such desperate state. And I guess I'm a sucker. Maybe they're trying to reach out and trying to keep it going. Working on our end now. Oh, no, I'm serious. I think they are.
No, I don't know. No. No, because we are the enemy, Gene. Okay?
For instance,
Juanita writing in and says, please let Gene know that if he joined in with the teabaggers and disagreed them in just one way, he would be crucified.
Oh, I know that. I get that. But the thing of it is, I honestly think that they are trying to, I'm not saying they're trying to reach out, they're trying to sucker, I guess, me then, or folks like me that they're trying to get every last little bit of any kind of thing they can get. Go ahead and read those. I mean, those articles on alternate and whatever, and tell me what you would Read it and tell me if I've got the wrong interpretation. I mean, seriously.
Okay, I will.
It's fair.
Yeah.
That's my only request. And I'll let a bunch of other people call and they can tell me how wrong I am.
Gene, you have a good evening.
You too.
Later. Bye now.
Bye-bye.
You know, Gene's motives and impulses are right and good. But the problem is that the motives and impulses of the teabaggers are wrong and evil. And see, something's going to happen. If good things start happening out of this administration and they become tangible to middle America, the teabaggers are done. This really is, more so, metaphorically speaking, than anything I remember in recent memory, this midterm election really is a race. We are literally racing each other to November. The teabaggers know that they have finite fuel. They're like the German army trying to break through the bulge. They've only got fuel for one push. We, on the other hand, can turn the tide of everything just by stopping them, just by showing them what good can be done for America when America decides to do and be good. You know, like I've said before, hate and fear are strong, but they are also easily diffused if you provide concrete evidence that what they hate is not the proper subject of their hate, and what they fear isn't actually scary. Make sense? Even a little bit? Renee Louise writing in and saying, Gene's angst simply shows the beautiful being he is. I completely understand where he's coming from. However, I completely understand where you're coming from too, Bob. We must be vigilant and prepared. Thanks, Renee Louise. Known to folks in the chat room as Thunderstone, she says, hey. Let's keep things rolling and see what's happening. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, sir, it's Lee.
Hey, Lee, what's up?
You are so right on, and so, I don't know, so essentially to defuse the teabaggers, you got to cut the red wire like in the beginning of one of those Lethal Weapon movies. I think it was
right. Crazy. You just got to make sure it's the red wire that has to be cut.
Totally, and that's and I do agree with Gene a little bit. I mean, because I've been listening to Rick Smith's show, and he's talking about how do we harness, you know, the teabag's anger. He's going, because I'm pissed off too, you know, talking about whether it's trade policy or whatever. But I think before you can redirect their anger, the Democrats had better go at it, like you say, hammer and tongs, and, you know, get this reconciliation done and make these people, you know, that will take all the teeth out when they start, you know, taking some of that health care. If they slam the door on some of these financial institutions that really, really need to go, you know. But the teabaggers should be pissed. But this is almost like the corporate America or whatever took a...
Well, right, Lee, and that's the whole point. The teabagger, the concept of anger is not wrong. There's plenty to be angry about. God knows I'm angry. But the thing is, the teabaggers are having their anger fueled and directed by the people that they ought to be angry at in the first place.
Correct. And it would be so much easier to do a glancing blow if, like I said, if the Democrats get in there and do their damn job, you know.
And see that what corporate America is doing, you know, because these people are funded by Wall Street and the pharmaceutical industry and the healthcare industry, the healthcare insurance industry, and so forth, the non-health insurance industry.
Right.
What they're doing is they are trying to immunize themselves. They're taking little doses of teabagger hate and pricking their corporate skin with it, Lee.
Yeah.
Hoping that they will immunize themselves against enough teabaggers that they really won't come after them with the pitchforks and torches.
So it's how much rattlesnake venom can they stand?
Yeah. It really is. You know, or if you want to go the Princess Bride route, it's iocane powder. Inconceivable.
Oh, God. I forgot about that one. Built up a tolerance, but yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, you know, it's almost like corporate America took what Orwell wrote to heart when Winston Smith was talking about the hope is in the proles. So let's just piss off the proles and get them beating the living snot out of each other, as I'm finding out in Studs Terkel's book, to call back to last week's call.
Yeah.
To ask you about that group, the Hottery, or I can't help but think of Red Buttons in that John Wayne movie where they're grabbing animals down in South in Africa. Or
I know. I keep thinking Chivalry, Hootery, you know, and then I say, then I hear people say it Hootery, and I'm thinking they're all having wings, and they're all having wings, and right. With women in tight worn shorts, and it,
watching Undercover Boss, you know.
Yeah, do you know? I saw photos today, Lee, of a Hootery wedding. I wish I was joking. All the men there decked out in their camouflage brought their AR-15s to the wedding. And the only one in formal wear is the bride, and she's wearing this black and white thing.
Wow.
And you should, well, it's over at TPM.
Okay. I like that site a lot.
And the looks on the faces just, I mean, the wide-eyed, screaming, crazy, woohoo, you know.
Did they like walk under the arch like you would with swords? I mean, my folks did that, but they were Army.
No, they were all just standing there with their guns waiting for the federales, going to protect the bride.
Jackasses. Just jackasses.
I mean, you know the cartoons where the character's eyes just bug out and the sound effect something along, awooga, you know?
Yeah, 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 the wolf whistle.
Yeah, those kind of eyes.
Hey, I have to clarify, please. I was not trying to downplay the fact that that went down in Conroe in 2006.
Oh, no, I didn't think you were.
And, in fact, what I was trying to highlight was the thing that I found while looking at that story, and it was about the kid that was running a lending library of banned books out of her locker.
Yeah.
His or her locker. And it was cool. I mean, you know, and the stuff that was on the banned list were things like, you know, Connecticut Yankee and King Arthur's Court.
Huckleberry, you know, Finn.
Yeah, right. So please don't think, I mean, believe me, I know it's, What was it? It's like it's so recent it doesn't even count, or whatever the hell it was W said.
Yeah, right.
So I wasn't trying to go that route.
No. I understand completely. And you know, like I said, I'm guessing from the current state of affairs, nothing's really changed.
No, it probably hasn't. That's the thing. So I wasn't.
Except that the high school senior who led the protest, you know, hopefully dude's finishing college this year.
Oh, the white Christ?
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that guy.
Yeah, and you know, he's going to go out there and make a difference.
Yeah, no, I hope he does. I really, really do. I need to ask you about the Raven, about the Hatari thing. Did you notice if any of those happened to belong to Raven Ministries at all? Was there any kind of affiliation with that?
Didn't see that, no.
Because wasn't that what the jerks in Amarillo were part of? Repent Amarillo?
Yeah, well, you know, that's an interesting connection to draw because they're behaving the same way.
Yeah.
Didn't even dawn on me, Lee, but yeah, score one for you.
Well, you know, and
I'd save the points for the chromium plated toaster if I were you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I like the green stamps.
Yeah.
Because I don't have very many, so, you know. But a friend of mine was pointing out to me, because I was talking about Raven Ministries, and I immediately said, well, you know, I think, you know, I'm guessing it's a play on words, and it's, you know, the freaking, you know, I think it's Elijah. I'm sure Juanita or Tobias can correct me. I think it's Elijah, not Elisha, that was being fed by ravens.
You even whipped me on that one.
But, yeah, I can't remember. One was getting fed by ravens, and the other one was, you know, using the woman's oil and flour that went on for 30 days or whatever. But I was telling a friend of mine about, you know, the raven thing. He goes, well, it also could have been, I guess in the old days they had what they called the rookeries.
Mm-hmm.
And where they were raising the ravens, and essentially what they did was just threw a whole bunch of freaking dead bodies in the bottom for those things to dine on. You know, so.
Hey, Grandpa, what's for supper?
Which I'm guessing that's where the rook chess piece comes from, but I don't know. I'm just, you know, guessing, by the way. Hey, very excited for your Mountaineers. I really am. I had, like, a little bit of longing for Texas during football season, but I think I sent you a thing about the fact that they're closing down a landmark venue and closing some classes for people that don't go to, you know, community classes or whatever, all in the name of saving $122,000, you know, from a school that prints its own money. So, you know, like I said, I'll never root for Texas again, although you guys should be playing Baylor. They got robbed on that charge.
The charge, yeah, toward the end.
That. that should have taken out their that should have taken out their damn center, you know, at that point. But, you know, to be critical of Baylor too, their center picked up a stupid fifth foul as well. So.
Well, I just hope that Duke comes into the game feeling like Duke, like they have, you know, that they are anointed by God to win the game. That, well, because, you know, Duke fans think Mike Krzyzewski is God. And have all kinds of, you know, creepy attitude, and that we just go out and gut stomp them.
Oh, I'm totally cheering for you guys. I know it's a win for Appalachia, but you know, it's.
See, I wanted it to wind up UTWVU in the final, so it would have been an all Appalachian NCAA final.
Oh, the other UT, right on.
Yeah.
Sorry.
You know, you're gonna get hate mail over that other UT comment, right? You know that.
Well, I have an uncle that's a huge the UT that's got the orange checkerboard. He's a season ticket holder, and that's all I used to ever hear was the other UT. I mean, just, come on. You know, burn orange. Yeah, that's right, because they got burnt, you know. But, hey, I've got to ask you a question,
mm-hmm.
and I need to find the right thing to look up on climate change. Because while I'm not a global warming denier, I mean, I understand climate change somewhat, I hate the way that argument is framed. I hate because you either hug trees or you hate polar bears. You know what I mean? And yet Taibbi's piece, that great American bubble machine, talks about the markets and how these people are going to make all this freaking money on cap and trade as opposed to just, you know, making these a-holes cap, you know, their emissions. You know what I'm saying? And so he had pointed out that it looks like it's another bubble that they can just burst. And then I heard, I think it was you or one of the callers called in, slamming Gore, talking about when they had that tragedy in Tennessee with the coal, the environmental disaster. You know, Gore said not a word. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I do. I remember the phone call. That was our first time caller. I think David in San Francisco.
Right. Okay. But, yeah, I mean, and so that just kind of, you know, like I said, I haven't done much follow-up on that.
Well, line. You know, what you've got to sort of get your head around, Lee, is that there is no consensus, I hate to say, in the big green community. I'm not talking about grassroots movements like Coal River Mountain Watch. We understand that cap and trade is a bit of a boondoggle. And we also understand that, you know, carbon capture and storage is absolute stupidity.
And false.
And yeah, it's just, you know, not only is it dumb, it's also not true.
Right. Right.
On the other hand, Repower America, which is Gore's group, is kind of okay with CCS.
Right, the official
policy of the Natural Resources Defense Council is pro CCS,
which just makes it sound like more corporate bullshit giveaways and another.
Well, you know, thank God, and that's more. You know that's why I continue to be grateful and hope he lives to be 100, 150, Bernie Sanders.
Right.
You know, I don't know if you saw this, but he said something today. He said he's deeply disappointed with the way that the global warming bill is going. And the pull quote from his letter to John Kerry is, "I do not want to see a global warming bill become a bonanza for the coal industry."
Right.
And that's where it's headed. It's going, from the coal industry standpoint, Lee, it's going from good to better. But from you know, human beings who breathe air standpoint, it's going from bad, it's going from worse to worser.
Right. And then did you see the thing Smith, Rick commented on it a couple of weeks back? I'm in the time machine with him, unfortunately, but I can't get caught up on everything. But I mean, he had a thing where he talked about everything from, well, I know you said 5% of all the coal mined is mountaintops. They're destroying it for less than the lion's share or something, you know? And yet you had mentioned stuff before, and so I started tying together things like, you know, all that metallurgical coal going to, you know, China. And then you've got Smith I'm sure it was Rick that pointed out, and I can't remember which show it was, but he showed the thing about China to expand their high-speed rail all the way into Europe and then bidding on U.S. rail contracts. So, you know, jobs of tomorrow, gone. you know, for America.
And the fact that, well, and I think we'll probably hear a little bit about that in this evening's Green News Report as well. China's miles ahead of the United States in building the green economy. And in point of fact, what they're doing is they're buying up metallurgical coal from Appalachia, and they're using it to build the wind turbines and stuff like that, which they later hope to sell to us because we will be too economically crippled to build our own. Of course, we would find it easier to build our own if American steel could be used to build wind turbines and the steel for with the metallurgical coal from Appalachia. But, you know, no, Don Blankenship and his cronies are selling, you know, selling America by the ton to the highest bidder. And it's not just China. Understand that there's a coal, an entire coal company here in Appalachia was bought by the Russians.
Oh, Russians, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did I say?
And the Indians have, Blankenship just signed off on a big deal to sell metallurgical coal to India.
And that why they went and acquired Cumberland or whatever that was?
I believe that's, yeah, part of it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we're effed in a lot of ways. It's almost like they've got to give us the health care so we'll shut up just a little bit. And that's why, like I said, and I didn't mean to imply that my mom has hypertension. I guess when I said Obamacare was going to kill her, when you asked how so, I should have gone with nerves. You know, whatever the hell it is. But I mean,
stress.
I don't know if you can catch hypertension or not, you know, or you develop it. But I'm just saying the way she reacts, you know, to the back or whoever talking points. And then, like I said, when you get them reinforced for an hour and a half on Sunday. Oh, not an hour and a half. They're Presbyterian, about 45 minutes. But, you know, it's stunning. And so, yeah, they, like I said, the Democrats had better go in there and just, and I think Sandra said something about, you know, she goes, yeah, it's not exactly a win, you know, or it's nice they got their little win. You know, I'd like to see them roll it into a streak or whatever. You know, I certainly would too, you know, because otherwise, you know, otherwise, this is just, if they stop there, then it's going to be more like a tie. And I think Texas coach Daryl Royal said that's like kissing your sister. So, you know.
That was Bear Bryant.
Was it Bear, really?
Yeah. I know. You former UT fans want to ascribe everything to somebody from Texas, but it was Bear.
Well, we did beat him 14-12.
See how it goes? Oh, and by the way, Juanita writing in to clear things up. She says it was Elijah who was fed by the ravens and also supplied the widow food and drink until it rained again. And she sent me the Bible verse. And, you know, you want to talk about icky? God said, get thee unto the stream of Cherith, which is above Jordan, and drink from the brook thereof, and the ravens will bring thee bread and flesh. Anybody ever seen a raven feed flesh to its young? You know what?
Yeah, you know where they get it?
Yeah, well, but, I mean, never, no. It's dinner time for some people around here, you know, so we want to be careful. But, you know, if I'm Elijah, I'm like, you know, God, I'll just fast, okay? The water, I'll fast, and, you know, everything. Never mind with the ravens.
And God said, no, you're going to take old laying in the sun bloated.
Now, see, it's people's dinner time around here, Lee. I done warned you.
Celestine's just a kind of potato or something.
Right, you know, he brought him fish and chips. Hey, Lee, good talking to you, brother. We'll talk soon.
Go Mountaineers, sir.
All right, thanks. Later. I do. See, I bear that in mind because I've got another icky food story here that I'm trying to wait just a little bit longer because, you know, among others, Linda and Scott, all of us, the Horn family, we are their evening dinner guests as they prepare their evening meal. And, you know, we're not going to go with the ravens no, it's dinner. It's dinner. We're doing a show during the dinner hour here, so, you know, work with me, okay? How about that? I don't have a dump button for dirty words, but we got to make sure we don't ruin people's meals. keeping it going. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, how are you doing?
Doing pretty good.
I have to excuse my speech. I'm still healing.
I understand.
My mouth's kind of sore. But, yeah, Victoria Jackson, that's the black hole of intelligence, correct?
The light of intelligence can't even be seen emanating from Victoria Jackson, precisely.
Such an idiot. It's just unbelievable.
But can you see how I would think it was almost Andy Kaufman-like?
Almost. It's pretty close.
Because it's all done, you know, Andy Kaufman did it all with a straight face, too.
Yeah. No, she actually strikes me as being that dumb, which is bad. But then again, that's about the level of mentality of, I hate to say it, but most of the people out there. That's a hell of an indictment, I hate to say.
Look, just go look at the Nielsen or the Arbitron or whatever book it is for that Fox disinformation outfit, and you know it's measured by the millions. Granted, there's 300 millions of Americans, but if it's 1.5, 2.5, 3 million, that's a little spooky.
I don't know how you'd even waste your time with crap like that. I mean, you know. I'd far rather watch stuff like Life on Discovery. You know, that's interesting. That's actually feeds your brain.
But they don't know it's there. Because and unless it's been given the stamp of approval by Fox so that they can be certain it's absolutely not Obama vision or communist or something, they won't watch it. Yeah, and I'm being reminded by David in Tennessee. Never mind how Andy Kaufman or how real Victoria Fox are, but the fact of the matter is, it's that Fox puts her on, and that's the scary part. And putting her on gets good ratings, you know. And she's got her little shtick that she does, and you know, singing about Jesus and stuff, and everybody just thinks she's so sweet. Look at that Victoria Jackson. She's just sweet. She's not very smart, but she's doing the best she can with it. Can't you, come on. You can hear it, right? You can hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. Bless her heart.
God love her. No, that's the God love her. God love her. She does the best with what God gave her, which ain't much.
And that collar to C-SPAN. My God. Is this the 21st century we just entered, or the 11th?
Well, right, and dig this. You know, I said, you know, is that guy for real? But the fact of the matter is, for all we know, I don't know where St. Paul's, North Carolina is, Cossack. But I can't help wondering if it's Virginia Fox's district. Because remember, Virginia Fox, that just seething right-wing pustule that she is, you know, she's everybody's mean grandmother. You know, the grandmother that you never wanted to go visit. No, she's mean. I want to go to my other grandmother. And bear in mind that it takes literally tens of thousands of Bill in St. Paul's, North Carolina, to keep that woman in office. So that, you know, that guy wasn't even the tip of an iceberg. That guy was as compared to the vast majority of them, that guy was an ice crystal. He was one crystal of race hate and intolerance and bigotry. And there is a vast iceberg of it that keeps, you know, come on, run through their names. John Linder from Georgia, Phil Gingrey, Westmoreland, Virginia Fox, you know, and it takes thousands of these hate-filled, excrescent idiots to keep those people in office expanding upon their hate.
And these idiots, actually, I do think that they actually want another civil war. And,
I think they do.
Yeah, they have no idea of what they're wishing for.
You know, there's an old joke out there about a Georgia war. He was a colonel, and he was running for political office after the Civil War, and he was mm-hmm. you know, talking up on the stump and whatever. And one of his men, Colonel, I was with you in the war between the states, and you know, you told us that we could whoop them Yankees with hickory sticks. What happened? The colonel looked down at him and said, I did tell you we could whoop them with hickory sticks, but damn Yankees wouldn't use them. Insisted on using guns.
Yep.
Well, that's where the teabaggers are, these freaks. And you know, please remember, while Mike Vanderbooger is in Pinson, Alabama, and while that, you know, the repent, whatever it was, repent Waco or repent what in Texas, I forget the city, Lee just mentioned it. While those are ostensibly Southern or Texan or Western or whatever, remember, the Hutter E crowd was busted in Michigan, Ohio, and Indiana. Nowhere is safe. They walk among us.
Oh, yeah.
And the only time we get to find out who they are is when they go to their gun-toting rallies. You know, and these dumb bastards are so clueless, Cossack, they're going to have one of their Celebrate the Second Amendment rallies in Oklahoma City.
That's a good idea.
And they're going to march on D.C. armed to the daggum teeth with their open carry rally on the anniversary of Waco and the Oklahoma City bombing.
You know, and what drives me to distraction is when I hear these idiots saying, well, violence is a left thing. That's not what we do. They're the violent ones. Wait a minute. As I recall, weren't the ones on the right screaming and yelling that we were traitors and terrorists just because people wore T-shirts that did not laud the Monkey King as being God overall? You know, suddenly we were traitors because we disagreed with a policy of the country. Not that we wanted to hurt our country, quite the opposite. But we were being...
Yeah, the people of the state of West Virginia were cost a bunch of bucks because George Bush's thugs arrested people for wearing a T-shirt with a picture on it.
Yeah.
Not even any words, I don't think.
Yeah. How many hundreds of thousands of dollars did they get? A lot, as I recall.
Yeah. And then there's the guy in South Carolina that was standing holding a sign. He was holding a sign, and the sign didn't say anything violent. I think it said, no blood for oil. And the guy was arrested and convicted, and lo and behold, guess what? His conviction was upheld by the South Carolina Supreme Court, and I think ultimately cert was refused by the United States Supreme Court.
For some reason, I don't doubt that. God, it's unbelievable. Now, Even though I know your stand on guns, and liberal as I am, I refuse to go in for unilateral disarmament.
Hey, I haven't given my I haven't turned mine in.
Yeah, these people are crazy. I mean, we already have some interesting.
You know, I'm kind of taking a neutral. I mean, let's be clear. I'm kind of taking a neutral standpoint on them because, you know, all I say about America's sick, twisted obsession with handguns, note I said handguns, is that it's just a deal with the devil that we've made. And every now and then, the installment, the bill comes due on the installment plan. And we pay it at Virginia Tech, and we pay it at Columbine, and we pay it at the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Congregation, and we pay it in the lobby of Dr. Tiller's church. You know, it's just business. This is the America, but, you know, anytime this happens and somebody says, my God, why did this happen? Well, it happens because, you know, because we love to hold our handgun in one hand and our in the other and masturbate both of them furiously.
When I was growing up, I was taught to have gun control. In other words, you know what your target is and you know how to hit it.
You sure. You know, I mean, my son, my daughters have been through hunter safety class. Yeah, it's just good information to have.
Yeah.
You know, it cuts down on the, hey, y'all watch this factor. I was sitting here doing show prep, okay? I kid you not. Now, I mean, we all know I'm in rural West Virginia. I was sitting here doing show prep, Cossack, and I hear not a quarter mile from me. Bam! Okay, nothing came from the window. I guess we're all right. Then about 60 seconds later, bam, bam! Still okay. Bam, 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 bam! And so after a while, okay, he's got a semi-automatic that's 6 plus 1. You know, six in the clip and one in the chamber.
Right.
And then a few, just, you know, about 5 minutes later, about the time it takes to reload your clip, I hear, bam, 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 bam. You know, and this is just a Tuesday afternoon in West Virginia. And then a little bit later, I hear, and, you know, Billy Bob's gone from, you know, I don't know, maybe he was just warming up a little bit, wanted to feel all manly before he went to work on his Holley 4 barrel on his 68 Camaro. You know, you want to be feeling real manly when you start getting under the hood of one of them, because they're muscular cars. But you know what? I got grandchildren in this house. I have babies in this house. And there are laws in the state that say you cannot discharge a firearm within 500 feet of a dwelling. And you know what? There is not a cop in this state who would enforce it.
True.
Because it's the Second Amendment right. And, you know, I squeezed off a few rounds through my Glock. And I was just doing that in case I ever got to defend the country.
I mean, when I go shooting, or when my brother and I go shooting, we go to a range. There are targets. It's a game you play with yourself, essentially. Gee, let's see if I can get better than I was last time. You know, and you know how to use the damn thing. You know how to break it down, clean it, put it back together. You know which one barks and which one doesn't.
Sure.
You know. But some of these people out here are total idiots. I mean, I agree with you. People who do not know about weapons shouldn't have them. They are dangerous. They are very dangerous. But then again, a lot of people shouldn't have cars because they're dangerous. Very dangerous. And if you're driving down the road with your cell phone in one hand and your coffee in the other and you're steering with your knees, yeah, not the world's brightest maneuver. And I see that every bloody day.
Right, and anything that comes of that will 99 times out of 100 be a tragedy brought on by either negligence or gross negligence. The problem with handguns is that they lend themselves to furious acts of intentional conduct.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, my head is still absolutely sideways over the fact that that guy who shot up the D.C. Metro station over at the Pentagon.
Yep.
His handgun was released into the stream of commerce by the Memphis, Tennessee Police Department.
No, that's idiotic.
And so, too, was another firearm that was used in another moment of rage. And they both found their ways to gun shows in Vegas. And they did that because there is a law that says, thou shalt not destroy a firearm. And to just sit and have a philosophical moment over a cup of tea or whatever and have it dawn on us that in this country we have the public will to eliminate a human life that has been guilty of some life taking. You know, there's a kid in Pennsylvania right now. He's 12 years old. He committed a crime when he was 11.
Mm-hmm.
He shot his father's pregnant girlfriend and killed her and the fetus.
Oh, boy.
He's going to be tried as an adult Cossack.
Well, that's idiotic anyway.
And what's more, he shot this woman with the 410 shotgun that was a children's model. We live in a country that manufactures and puts into the stream of commerce firearms designed specifically for children.
I never had a children's gun.
Now, in what but in what universe is that a good idea?
None that I know of. I mean, it's a good idea to be trained while you're young. I was, but you don't have access to weapons until you're old enough to know how,
yeah,
and when.
And just to bring this thing full circle before I get completely lost, the young man is going to be tried as an adult. He faces life in the big house. Can you imagine being 11 and sent to the big house? Maybe he'll be sent to a juvenile detention facility until he's 18, at which time they turn the fresh meat loose to the boys in the big stir. Okay? There's that. There's that. But secondly, my whole point, we have the nerve, we have the public will to end a human life that commits a killing, but we do not have the public will to destroy the firearm that he did it with.
That's insane.
I mean, really, just let that one rattle around a little bit. We can destroy a human being, but not a gun.
No.
The gun itself has higher value on our overall national scale of values. It has higher worth on our scale of values than the human life. We won't even bother to rehabilitate the killer, but we'll take the tool that he used to do the killing with and put it back into the holy stream of commerce so the next evil-minded human being with a broken brain that decides something needs to die can use it. That just rots my head.
No, it's insanity. It's insanity. Now, here's something I've suggested for a long time, that rather than registering guns, we should issue licenses or registrations to gun owners. In other words, you don't have to have a gun, but you do have to qualify if you want to have one. You have to be able to take a test, show that you know how it works.
Oh, you mean do all that stuff that, like, the Second Militia Act of 1792 mandated?
Yeah.
Not a bad idea, Cossack. We got them stacked up, Cossack. I got a roll, brother, but good to hear from you.
All right, take care.
All right. Later now.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
That's the Cossack calling from North Florida. And by the way, just a little information update. Kate just wrote to say that St. Paul's, North Carolina, is a little old empty cotton mill town on North Carolina 20, a few miles north of Tar Heel. The town grew out of one church, a post office, and a livery stable. Racial makeup is 25% white, 60% African American, 14% Mexican, and other. And as Kate notes, poor old Bill. Now we kind of understand the nature of the phone call, don't we? Hey, welcome to the program.
You were Kaufmanized by that Huttery when you were reading off the blog site. That they hacked that website to pieces.
Oh, I'm sure. I knew that when I saw Roger Roger. You know, that's straight out of George Lucas. Roger Roger.
Yeah. I just wanted to mention that I know you have a place in your heart for these stories, but you don't like hearing about them. But there's another case of bullying that happened in Massachusetts.
Oh, Jesus.
A little girl, this time.
Killed herself.
Yeah. Who was of Irish descent. She came from Ireland. And apparently the school did not like a lot of people from Ireland in that area. And she ended up, again, I guess this is the choice of killing yourself. For school students, she hanged herself. The school was taking no responsibility. They knew it was happening. If you go on Raw Story right now, you can pull it up and look at the details for the whole story. It seems to me like the school could have stepped in at any time and helped this little girl and stopped it. But they didn't.
No. No, they didn't.
And I saw that story, David, and I didn't have the guts to deal with it. I didn't have the heart to deal with it.
Yeah.
Because I don't know what you say. I mean, no, I got a pretty good idea. There's a couple of things you can say. One of the central tenets of the reason that Kevin Jennings heads up the Safe Schools program in the Department of Education in the Obama administration is because of precisely things like that. He wants it stopped. He wants it to end. So necessarily, what is the right wing doing? Are they working with Kevin Jennings to end this kind of bullying in schools, this kind of absolutely mortal torment? Oh, hell no, David. They're hollering that he needs to be removed from office because he's described himself as a recovering Baptist. And he's all gay and doesn't mind telling people that he's gay and tells people it's all right to be gay and he's got to be removed. You know, Glenn Beck has smeared the hell out of Kevin Jennings.
Well, if you ask me, I think there should be a law in the books for fining this kind of intolerable bullying, a heavy fine that the parents will have to pay. And I think a lot of that will stop really quick. Especially with when I was reading the details on this, it was like, wow, the school didn't do anything. The other children tried to help her. Nobody listened to the kids. And it came from one of those family values type towns, of course.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love them family values.
Yeah, you gotta love those family values. And then the other thing that this is a late submission to Moran Monday.
That's okay. The window's always open.
Did you hear this? Did you hear this comment that this guy made on Facebook?
Oh no, which one?
Mick Levasseur from New Hampshire.
No.
He put on his Facebook, a representative from New Hampshire. He said, anime is a prime example of why we should have used two nukes. Of why we should have used more than two nukes.
On Japan.
Yeah, but he didn't say Japan. He just said anime. And then he came out with his fake apology or whatever. I didn't know I was going to offend anyone. Facebook is, see, that's one good thing that Facebook is good for. To spot some of these scaly representatives and put them on blast just so people know, hey, Mick Levasseur, he said this, might not want to vote for him next time. Seems to be a bit of a gaffe monster.
A little bit of a freak, yeah.
Yeah, just a little bit. And then the other thing that I thought was funny, you didn't mention, I was waiting for you to mention it, but do you know what Huttery used for their theme music?
I'm still trying to find out what Huttery means, but no, they had theme music? I can't wait.
Yeah. I scratched my head at this one because I thought, okay, you're way out in the boonies. I would think, you know.
Dueling banjos.
No, I would think, you know. Okay, maybe Kansas or Charlie Daniels, but then when I saw Sisters of Mercy, what the hell kind of crazy is this?
Well, they were taken in by the name.
No, it was one of the songs. Apparently, you know, the first shall be first and last shall be last or something.
No, that Alpha and Omega business, Lee.
Yeah, something like that. I guess they were big Sisters of Mercy fans. I found that kind of funny. But to end this on a high note, since it is, I have coined the day, by the way. It is Triumphant Tuesday. Apparently, Australia is the first to unveil a prototype bionic eye. Rudd put in $40 billion, I think, to develop this technology, and they unveiled it today. And it looks like it's going to save a lot of people. So, yay for Australia. And
wow.
New bionic eye.
Oh, that is nice. Updating real quick, the story you mentioned at the top, David.
Yes.
Nine teenagers have been charged in Phoebe Prince's death.
A little too late, but you know.
Yeah, right. And that's the thing. The school could have stopped it.
Exactly. And I mean, that's that's where you need to have a really strict punishment on this.
And they were taking it out on her over the fact that she had a brief dating relationship 6 weeks previous.
Mm.
And they were mad at her, I guess, for breaking it off or whatever, or for dating the guy in the first place. Let's see. Sean Mulvihill, 17, of South Hadley, was charged with statutory rape, violation of civil rights with bodily injury resulting, criminal harassment, disturbance of a school assembly. Austin Renaud, Springfield, statutory rape. Kayla Neri, 17, South Hadley, violation of civil rights, bodily injury resulting, criminal harassment, disturbance of school assembly. The other three girls were a violation of civil rights, bodily injury resulting, and two were also charged with stalking. Three other girls were named in four delinquency complaints from Hampshire Franklin Juvenile Court. Violation of civil rights with bodily injury resulting, criminal harassment, disturbance of a school assembly, violation of civil rights, criminal harassment by means of a dangerous weapon. One of the juveniles was charged in a separate complaint involving a second victim, David.
Wow.
But yeah, and see, some of this stuff, this is not rocket science making this not happen.
Right.
This is doable. This isn't automatic. This doesn't just have to be this way. I've said it a million times before.
Something on the books. That's what I say.
Yeah, I've said it a million times. You know, this stuff isn't born out of anything real. This is born out of children's perceptions. You know, a child who is called faggot every day of his life throughout his fifth grade year does not even have a sexuality to speak of at that point.
Mm-hmm.
It is used as hate. It is used as a cudgel, as a weapon. And we don't even have to go into the business of where did they learn it. They learn it from each other, and they learn it at home. And they learn it in church. They just do. Because they, you know, if they go to a good fundamentalist church, a Baptist church or whatever, they will hear in the pulpit that God hates his own creation.
You know, talking about sadistic acts of violence, the other story that got me was the police officer. I don't know if you heard about this. Did you hear about the police officer ripping out someone's dreadlocks?
No.
I saw the pictures on that, and I was like, wow. Set up the lawsuits, people. Make this cop pay millions.
Yeah.
That's what needs to be done. The fines need to be racked. And a lot of these problems will dwindle. But apparently we still haven't gotten that message yet.
No.
Hopefully we'll get it soon, though.
And see, those guys, those rogues make it easier for people like the Huttery creeps.
Right.
You know, because their whole plan was to take out a police officer, get a lot of police officers to come to his funeral, then set off improvised explosive devices and kill more and get themselves a nice little uprising going. I don't follow the logic, but it's not really logic, is it, David? It's not crazy. It's not insane, but it ain't logic.
I agree with you completely, and it's amazing how silent people are on these acts of Caucasian terrorism.
Exactly. David, have a good night. I appreciate the info.
All right, later, bye.
All right, later. Pop culture correspondent David calling in from Maine. And we'll try another line here. All right. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello.
Hi, Bob. This is Chino Deb.
Well, hey, Chino Deb. How are you?
Fine, hon. How are you?
Pretty good.
Hey, I just called Toyota, and I'm taking my car down there tomorrow.
Hallelujah. Are they going to fix it?
I don't know. I get a loaner car, and they're going to keep it all day long. So we'll see what happens on that. I just want to tell you, I was listening to Gail King's show When I get in the car, I listen to the Oprah radio show.
Uh-huh. I didn't know there was such a thing, but okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. And so Gayle King, which is Oprah's good friend, she has her own show, and she had some reporter on her show, and he was at the Palin and McCain rally in Phoenix, and he also went over to Searchlight, Nevada, for the Teabagger rally. Well, he was saying that the in Phoenix, behind the cameras where Palin and McCain were, there was a big picture of a monkey. This man was holding up a big picture of a monkey, and he had another sign that said, "Obama, go back to Kenya." That's what they said.
And somehow or another, that didn't make the visuals on Fox, I'm guessing.
Oh no, So I watched CNN and that day. The next day, because I wanted to see what the teabaggers were going to do. And a reporter said that they had a couple incidents of the teabaggers, you know. But that was about it. They weren't really out of hand. Well, then I watched Fox News. I've been watching Fox News for a whole month just to see what they say about things. And they said that there was no incident of any of the teabaggers getting out of hand. And, in fact, the only people that were out of hand were the people that were backing up, what's his name, from the state of Nevada.
Oh,
Yeah,
Harry Reid.
Yeah, they were making all kinds of motion. So, anyway, it was very interesting. No wonder, you know, half my friends are Republicans and religious people, and I wanted to see, you know, what was going on with Fox News. So, but anyway, Gal, on her show, she said that she's very, very concerned about Sarah Palin, and that Sarah Palin scares her. She said, these teabaggers, she's getting it. She goes, you know, Obama is a black man, and that's what they're going after. She understands what they're all about, and she feels that, and she's very scared of Palin. So several times I've listened to her show, and she's watching Palin. She follows up and reports on her radio show about what Sarah Palin's up to.
Well,
so,
good.
She understands what's going on, Gail does. So I'm really happy that there's other people that are reporting it and know what's going on like we do. So I just wanted to tell you that.
I'm very glad you did. I didn't know about this show, but I'm glad that there are people that are out there that are saying it so it can be heard. And because it's almost irrefutable at this point, you know, Deb, it really, really is.
I know. Yeah. And I'm glad that she's reporting it, too. And there's on my Facebook, there's a Derek Ashlong, and he has a show on Oprah Radio on Saturdays. And he is a really nice, nice man. In fact,
I shall have to investigate this Oprah Radio.
Yeah, and befriend him. He's great. I'm always blogging on his site on Facebook. He's really cool. He has a Saturday show on. It's on.
So is this something you hear on the regular radio, or is it only on the satellite?
It's on satellite.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So, but Derek is good friends with Gail, and Gail got him in on Oprah Radio on Saturday. So he's a really nice man, and he believes, I think Oprah and them, they're more liberal than they want to say they are, you know?
Oh, I know.
And Gail just admitted today that she was glad that this health care passed, because she has guests on her show that are against it. And today, and I never, she never said one way or the other whether she was for it. And today she goes, you know, I'm really glad that this health care reform passed. So she, you know, they're more liberal than they tend to lead on, you know, to believe, let us believe. But, yeah, there's people, there's a lot of people out there, Bob, that are, that think like us. Yep. And I'm glad.
Indeed, indeed. And I hope everything turns out with your car.
Okay, well, I'll keep you posted. I do, too. And thank you very much for your show. I love your show, and I'll be making a donation next month.
All right. We sure appreciate it, Chino Deb. We really, really do.
Oh, I appreciate you.
You take care.
You take care, honey.
Bye now. And let's see. Just to clear out the line, let's just hey, welcome to the program.
Oh, hello. This is Haven.
Hey, Haven, what's up?
Not a thing. I heard you mention Duke.
Yes.
And I as a matter of fact, I believe I heard you. Did you mention him yesterday? I wasn't able to.
They're at the forefront of my mind, seeing how the fortunes and hopes and dreams of an entire state are riding on beating them.
Well, you said some very controversial things about Mike Krzyzewski, and as much as I love your show, I have to say, actually, you're probably right.
No,
because I mean, they do have the squeaky clean,
and they play like thugs.
They see how much they can get away with, and you know the refs like him.
Right, and that's the thing. He took everything that was wrong with Bobby Knight and sort of bottled it, packaged it in this squeaky clean weasel faced image. And I don't know what the love affair with between CBS and Duke is, but it's there.
Oh yeah. He has done some things that resemble commercials. I mean, technically they're not. But really, they are in the world of common sense. They would be considered commercials. But I mean, it's Duke. You know, it's Duke.
Yeah. Well, what I forget what that commercial was a few years back. Was it Bud Light or something, or a tennis shoe, or a car rental, or?
It seemed like it was. It seemed like it had something to do with finance.
No, he was. I know he was driving a car in one of them. It was really funny.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was nationwide recruiting for Duke University.
Oh yeah. As if they actually need that publicity.
Right. So, well, and you know the funny thing is no one's. I haven't caught a lot of people talking about it, but the last time that. Huggins went up against Krzyzewski. It was in the tournament. It was a couple of years ago, and the Mountaineers beat Duke like Duke owed him money.
Yeah.
So that I think that won't be far from Krzyzewski's mind.
Right. This is going to be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one. I am more of a Carolina fan myself. So, you know, I don't particularly care for Duke. I like them. I like Carolina and, Wake Forest. And NC State has a soft spot in my heart.
Sure.
But, Duke, they have just going on basic talent and skill and teamwork and that sort of thing. They are the real deal this year.
Yeah, but see, I felt like Duke got our number one seed. I mean, granted, it worked out nicely getting to beat Kentucky and everything, but there was as much of a case to be made for WVU taking that one seed in the South as there was for Duke getting it. And Duke got it on Duke points, frankly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because they're Duke.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. You're not going to see Duke will never be like a number three seed in the tournament or a number five seed or something like that. It's either number one seed or it's going to be the NIT for them.
Yeah.
And frankly, you know, just that I think it leans more toward the one seed than I just didn't think the case was that strong for a one seed this year. It just wasn't. Not that I'm any kind of an expert, and yes, I'm highly biased. I wanted that one seed. But it did work out. It worked out beautifully because, you know, you can't tell me that the selection committee isn't sitting there just work, you know, this one has a nice, you know, there's potential here. Because, you know, one of the things that was beautiful about the WVU-Kentucky matchup was that WVU used to go down and play in the Kentucky Classic every year. I mean, this was like 40, 50 years ago. Went and played every year. And had this habit of going down and just beating the stuffing out of Kentucky in their own tournament. Until one year, Adolph Rupp said, that's enough, and never invited them back.
Oh, yeah.
So it's kind of sweet to, you know, to get that victory.
Right, right. Well, have you, switching?
Yeah.
Topic.
Sure.
Have you heard of, the movie or seen the movie Law Abiding Citizen?
I have heard of it, but have not seen it.
With Gerard Butler and Jamie Foxx in it. And,
well, I know Gerard Butler's work because I'm surprised we haven't seen that one because anything that's got Gerard Butler in it, my lovely wife will find a way of getting to view. She hasn't been okay since Sparta.
Okay, right. Well, Law Abiding Citizen has a scene in it. The deal is Gerard Butler's wife and child gets killed, and they know who did it, and Jamie Foxx makes a plea deal that lets the murderer go free.
Oh, I know which movie you're talking about now. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Gerard Butler, he gets himself together and basically lays this huge plan. And years later, comes back and kills the guy who he tortures and kills the guy who murdered his family. And then he has to deal with, you know, he gets arrested and everything, and Jamie Foxx is like, well, you know, what's your deal? You know, you're going to jail for a while, and Gerard Butler is like, well, look, I have certain demands, and you need to meet these demands or else things are going to go crazy. So one of the things that they meet his demands, and he piles more on there, and it's all part of a grand scheme on his part. But one of the things that he does is he kills a police officer. And when other police officers go to that police officer's funeral, he ambushes them. He ambushes them with bombs. He ambushes them with IEDs and with some sort of makeshift remote control machine gun. And when they talk about this hooterie thing, that when they talked about that, I said, wait a minute, it seems like I've heard about that plot somewhere before. And that's where it came from.
I'll be darned.
This movie came out in, this is 2010. That movie came out in mid-2009, maybe?
Yeah, because I've seen and that's why I flashed on it. I didn't recognize, I recognized the title, but I didn't recognize the plot. And yeah, that I've seen ads for it on TV.
Yeah, so this guy just makes their
they
lives
just
a little
they hell. So they
because
bogarted they their bogarted their plot off of a released DVD.
Right.
Well, Hollywood is much better than this than your average fundy haven. I mean, they're, you know, not the sharpest knives in the drawer. They have knives and lots of them. But
I can't blame Hollywood because these are grown people. These are
right,
grown
right, and something happens inside their skull where they watch this movie and they go, "Hey, that'd be a good idea."
Yeah. Let's just add a little of this. Get rid of that. Add a few things, you know. Let's flesh out this idea.
But he wasn't running around in fatigues and stuff, was he?
No. As a matter of fact, they hadn't. Well, you haven't seen the movie, so I'm not.
Yeah, actually, I would kind of like to. And like I said, since it's got Gerard Butler in it,
My wife will. She would watch him. She would watch him read the ingredient list off a box of baking soda. Go figure.
It's an awesome. It's a pretty good movie. I didn't care for the torture in it, but so many movies seem to take up that theme ever since the Bush administration.
Apparently, it sells.
Apparently, but as a story, it's a well done story. I will say that. And the ending is a surprise.
Cool. I will keep an eye out for it, without a doubt.
And I think that Hootery, I think it should be pronounced Hootery. A lot of people pronounce it as Hootery, as if this is, you know, to give it, I guess, some sort of noble, you know, kind of bounce it off the tongue with it.
Yeah, it sounds like a tribe or something. Yeah.
You're right. But, I mean, it's got two E's at the end of it, so you're supposed to stress the E, apparently.
You know, usually I'm pretty, Haven, I'm usually pretty good at sorting out what this stuff means. But that, either that's a, because they say it means Christian warrior?
Well, the guy from,
in what language?
Southern Poverty. The guy from Southern Poverty Law Center says they basically made these words up in, you know, out of whole cloth. There is no.
Yeah, because one of their ranks is Archon. Now, that's Greek. That I know.
Oh, yeah. Do you think they know that? Maybe.
Well, see.
Maybe
yeah.
It would be a coincidence.
But there, you know what? Looking back, if I'm not mistaken, there may be a reference to the city's Archons in one of the accounts of, maybe it's where St. Paul goes and teaches on Mars Hill. Which was in Athens, I believe. And Athens was run by a group of elders called the Archons.
Oh, okay.
So that, and I just keep wondering if that's some bit of weirdness out of whichever twisted version of the Bible those freaks are allegedly reading. Because the whole idea that, you know, Jesus wants us to have swords and equipment. I mean, did you read that, Haven? Did you see how, I don't know how to say this, just how out of place that sentence was? Or how, you know, on the, it didn't even fit within the stylistic, margins of its own context is, I guess, what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. I think I did hear about that, I can't remember what the sentence was, but everybody has been quoting that sentence. And, I mean, what can you say?
He wanted us to protect ourselves with swords and have equipment.
Yeah.
You know, heavy equipment, light equipment, fishing equipment. It's just not one of those words that just sits there at the end of a sentence. And I know that probably doesn't make a lot of sense, but it's how my weird little mind works.
And their interpretation.
Oh, dear. Here we go. Yeah.
Different interpretations of the good book.
Well, and maybe equipment is some sort of a code for them. Who knows?
Could be. But the thing that bothers me about so much of this is, and I, you know, I love this guy as a talk show host. Tom Hartman.
I think the world of him.
I do too. I really do. And I was, and it doesn't surprise me that he would grow up in Michigan and know militia people who are, you know, in the militia and, you know, adhere to the militia. I get that. I know some people who are, or at least were in the Nation of Islam. But I
don't see an equivalence between those two things, Haven.
Well, that's the closest thing that I can think of to, that's the closest comparison I can think of. Even though I understand, I know what you mean. I don't think it's equivalent either.
I mean, for white guys, if you're a white guy and you want to go running around in the woods with guns, and paint on your face and stuff like that, join the National Guard.
I mean, they'll let you do it one weekend a month on their dime.
Right.
But see, that's federal. And, you know, these guys want their states' rights. I mean, I saw a post the other day on a website that has nothing to do with any of this stuff by a guy from Utah saying, well, you know, that's one of the things I like about the Confederate Constitution. And I just thought, son of a...
Right, right. And, I mean, are these guys really that diverse? I've heard some things that, you know, this particular group was really out there, and that other groups didn't really think of them as being a fringe within a fringe. But, and Tom Hartman had one guy, there was a guy who called in who was claimed to be from a militia, but a constitutional militia, not a biblical, I guess you would say, militia. And it kind of bothers me that, I mean, unless I just don't know as much about this stuff as I should, but I associate them with white nationalists, with
yes.
white separatists, with Nazi gangs and that sort of thing. And I don't see them as people who you try to find common ground with, which is something that Tom Hartman is all about. And that brought me to another issue of this whole, the left, the liberals and the left, and what is the left anymore? I mean, really, you know what I mean? What is it? I mean,
that's something I've said for years, Haven. When wanting everybody to be able to go to the doctor when they're sick makes me a communist.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say that the political spectrum has slid all the way over to the indigo and violet range of the spectrum. It's all the way to the right. So your question is well taken. What left?
And then you have some people on the left who are like you mentioned, Fire Dog Lake last week, Jane Hampshire. I just started reading up on her. But I thought it was really petty of her to say, well, is Dennis Kucinich going to give his donors their money back since he switched his vote? Hell, the whole progressive caucus switched their vote. Everybody switched their vote.
Yeah.
I think that was really unfair of her. And this circular firing squad stuff really grates on my nerves.
Well, it does, and it certainly makes it harder to get anything done. And having said that, Haven, I recognize it's a flawed bill. But I also recognize that something had to be done. And no, among other things, Sandra pointed out to me in an article she sent along last night, there's no cost controls. And the only thing I can make out of it is that somewhere along the way, this is going to be the best reason in the world to quit playing footsie with the insurance companies and just recognize what the right thing for the United States of America is for us to do, and that is for us to extend Medicare to every single human being in the country.
Yeah.
Or at least every single human being who wants it. And by the way, I got to back up just a minute with all these militia types and these open carry creeps and stuff. Our buddy Dennis in Kentucky sent me a series of photographs today. And I realized that in talking about photographs on the radio, you kind of have to take my word for it. And it's a lot like dancing about architecture. But this was a Rand Paul rally in Frankfort, Kentucky on the 27th of March. You know, this is Ron Paul's son, named after Ayn Rand. And Rand Paul got up to the podium and screamed to the crowd that was armed to the teeth, "We've come to take our government back." You know, it reminds me of that old joke about the Lone Ranger and Tonto being surrounded by 10,000 very angry Indians. And the Lone Ranger looks at Tonto and says, "Well, old friend, looks like this is the end for us." Tonto turns and looks at him and says, "What you mean us, paleface?" You know, we've come to take our government back. Here's a and this is the beautiful thing. There are photographs. I mean, there's a photograph of a guy done up in full camo right down to his gloves. He's got, you know, the U.S. military coal scuttle helmet on. He's got the little bracket to hold his, you know, night vision searchlight thing. He's wearing mirrored goggles. He's got his helmet strapped onto him. He's got pockets full of clips for his AR-15. I mean, these guys are military fetished absolutely to the wall. Okay, Haven? Now, here's the fun part. Even without all the gear on him, this guy has not seen his feet in 15 years. You know, there's a reason this guy can't join the National Guard, and it has nothing to do with his age. This guy would have a coronary on his fifth push-up. And there's lots of these guys. You know, and then you know there's another guy with a tomahawk strapped to the back of his belt who's dressed like Daniel Boone. These are costume fetishists, Haven, who happen to have very 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 deadly weapons at their beck and call. You know, a guy standing next to his baby in a stroller with a semi-automatic handgun strapped to his hip, or maybe it's a wheel gun. I can't tell which.
Wow.
You know, another guy in a sort of a crimson coat with the brass buttons and a tri-cornered hat. And they're going to take America back. To what? The 18th century, Daniel Boone?
You sound like the reenactment, Civil War reenactment.
Yeah.
Revolutionary War reenactment, yeah.
You know, dude in his Boonie hat and... And then one creep who's just in jeans and a T-shirt with his mirrored, they've all got mirrored glasses on just about. And he's got a hunting rifle slung over his shoulder in a fashion that no responsible hunter would ever carry a weapon in, by the way. Mm. And he's holding a sign, it's just brown cardboard with Sharpie writing on it, and it just says, "Stop the feds or we will." Well, last I checked, Haven, the feds are you and me. Remember, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, all of, right?
Well, the feds are out there somewhere.
Yeah, they're amorphous, and they're really, really scary.
Yeah, they're whoever they say they are.
Right, they're whoever the teabaggers say they are.
Right, right, right.
Exactly. Well, Haven, good talking to you, my friend. I'll keep an eye out for the movie, and we will talk soon, I hope.
All right.
All right, you take care. Later. So, good friend Haven calling from North Carolina. Glad to hear he is at best ambivalent about the Dukies. And I'm going to take a little break because I'm right dry. And John Fox kindly sent along a little song. From his massive collection, from the Disposable Heroes of Hypocrisy, an early manifestation of Michael Frati's work. This for poor little Phoebe, and it didn't have to happen, but this for her. The Green News Report coming your way with Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen, and then we'll crank it right back up when we get back. Time enough for a couple of phone calls if you want to jump in. We've got a couple on the line already. We'll hit as many as we can. That's my promise. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. It all happens only because of you. This is The Horn.
Always the hottest, the first day of school, the hallways, the dark's like a goblin. The voice is haunted, walking in with the thin skin, lower chin. He knew the names that they were taunting with. Faggot, sissy, punk,
sex in its 15 years. When they harassed him, it was for a reason. When they provoked him, it became open season. For the fox and the hunter, the sparks and the thunder that pushed the boy under, then pillage and plunder. Kind of makes you wonder how one can hurt another. But dehumanizing the victim makes things simpler. It's like breathing with a respirator. It eases the conscience of even the most conscious and calculating violator. Words can reduce a person to an object, something more easy to hate than an inanimate entity. Completely disposable, no problem to obliterate. But death is the silence in this language of violence. Death is the silence, but death is the silence in the cycle of violence. Death is the silence. It's tough to be on the unlawed, to be tougher when we pick up someone else, it might make us feel rougher. Abused by the fathers, but that was at home. So to prove to each other that they were not homos. The estimation of the phobic fury. Execution of judge and jury. The mob mentality. Individuality was nowhere. Dignity forgotten at the bottom of a dumb old dick. And an unconscious there. On the way, homo was back to name calling. 10 against 1, they had us back against the wall. They reveled in their laughter as they surrounded him. But it wasn't a game when they up jumped and grounded him. They picked up the bats with the muscles straining. And they decided they were gonna beat this fellow straining with an awful, powerful shuffle. An hour full of violence. Took his district through by being dominant. They didn't hear him screaming. They didn't hear him bleeding. They ran like cowards and left the boy bleeding in a pool of red. To all tears from shedding his eyes while he's bleeding through the back of his head. Dead. The death of the silence. In the silence of violence. Death of the silence. But death of the silence. In the cycle of violence. Death of the silence. You won't see the face till the eyelids drop. You won't hear the screaming until it stops. You won't see the face till the eyelids drop. You won't hear the screaming until it stops. The boy's parents were gone and his grandmother had raised him. She was mad, she had no form of retaliation. The fact that not to worry about being on a hit list. But the thing he never thought about was that there was a witness to this senseless crime. Right place, wrong time. Tried out no matter, one of them was gonna do a hard time. Always the hardest, the first day of prison, the hallways, the darkest like a gun. The voices haunt, faggot, sissy, punk, queen, queer. Words he used before had a new meaning in here. As a group of men in front of him laughing came near. For the first time in his life, a young bully felt fear. He'd never been on the side of the name calling. 5 against 1, they had his back up against the wall. And he had never questioned his own sexuality. But this group of men didn't hesitate their reality with an awful, powerful shout. An hour full of violence, the victims took it without being dominant. They didn't hear him screaming, they didn't hear him pleading. They took what they wanted and then just left them bleeding in the corner. The giant reduced to Jack Horner. The victim makes things simpler. It's like breathing with a respirator. It eases the conscience of even the most conscious and calculating violator. The power of words, don't take it for granted. When you hear a man ranting, don't just read the lips. Be more sublime than this. Put everything in context. Here's just a tale of rough justice in a land where there's no justice at all. Who is really the victim? Or are we all the cause, the victim of it all? When death is the silence, in this language of violence, death is the silence. But death is the silence, in the cycle of violence, death is the silence. You won't see the face till the eyelids drop. You won't hear the screaming until it stops. You won't see the face till the eyelids drop. You won't hear the screaming until it stops.
It's Tuesday, March 30th, 2010.
China beats the U.S. again. EPA vetoes mountaintop removal. The right-wing response to Earth Hour. Plus, Sarah Palin spends her weekend recycling.
We do need to drill here and drill now.
All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Now, media, try to get this right, okay?
Hey, Sarah, how's that whole Hopi screechy thing working for you? This is your Green News Report.
Okay?
Today's Green News Report is brought to you by StopDomesticTerror.com. The passage of health insurance reform has once again led to a rapid increase in domestic terrorist threats, this time against Democratic officials. Velvet Revolution has been calling on the DOJ for months to crack down on those who would incite this kind of violence. Please sign on and support VR's important StopDomesticTerror.com campaign today before it's too late. That's StopDomesticTerror.com. Okay, Des, hope you enjoyed Earth Hour this weekend. Did you turn off your lights?
Yes, certainly did.
Yes, actually we did. We had a lovely candlelight game of Scrabble.
It was fun.
Who won?
You did.
Thank you for pointing that out. What are the green headlines, Des?
Well, Earth Hour was on Saturday night when people in countries all around the world turned off their electric lights for 1 hour.
And played Scrabble. And who won?
You did.
Thank you.
In a global call for action on climate change. The organizers at EarthHour.org say it was a great success with hundreds of millions of people participating in 125 countries around the world. But you'll probably not be surprised that some folks didn't like the idea. Specifically, the very mature folks at the Competitive Enterprise Institute, a libertarian think tank, who put out a counter call instead to turn on all your lights to celebrate what they called Human Achievement Hour, to show our appreciation that we can turn on our lights whenever we want.
Did they really?
Yes, they did.
Oh,
it seems the real high-minded purpose behind it was just to tick off liberals by wasting as much energy as possible.
These guys are geniuses.
You can check out all the awesome photos from all around the world at earthhour.org. It's really cool. The Sphinx and the pyramids look really weird when they're all dark like that. China surpasses the U.S. in clean energy investment.
China wants those jobs. Germany wants those jobs. They are going after them hard, making the investments required.
President Obama wasn't kidding when he said that in a town hall meeting back in January. And now a new study shows that China, for the first time, has surpassed the U.S. and is now the leader in clean energy investment in the world. China spent $34 billion last year, nearly twice what the U.S. spent. The comprehensive study from the Pew Charitable Trusts says the U.S. has slipped behind 10 countries, including Canada and Mexico, in spending on clean energy as a share of the national economy. A Los Angeles Times analysis says the Pew report raises questions about American competitiveness in a global market both now and in the future. And in a related story, although China has taken the lead in clean energy investment in the world, they still rely heavily on polluting fossil fuels like coal. And at this hour, rescuers in northern China are attempting to reach 153 coal miners trapped in a flooded coal mine. China's mines are the most deadly in the world, with over 2,600 deaths in Chinese mining accidents last year alone.
How many?
2,600.
2,600 deaths in China in 1 year in coal mining accidents?
Yes.
Good Lord.
West Virginia coal gonna take you on a ride.
The Environmental Protection Agency takes another whack at mountaintop removal coal mining.
About time.
The West Virginia Gazette reports that the EPA is proposing a veto of the strip mining permit of one of West Virginia's largest strip mines using its authority under the Clean Water Act. In its report, the EPA says the controversial Spruce No. 1 mine would cause, quote, unacceptable adverse impacts that would be, quote, irreversible, including burying of miles of streams and adverse health impacts on residents living near the mine.
For folks who aren't clear on this, mountaintop removal is blowing off the tops of mountains. That's it. It is irreversible, and it's about time the EPA steps in and says no. Finally, no.
While the veto proposal is only the next step in a long formal process that could take a year or more, but it will include an opportunity for the public to weigh in on the mine. The public comment period on this is crucial. Speaking up will make a difference in the EPA's final decision, and we have the links at our website, greennews.bradblog.com.
And this is the first veto for this sort of thing, is it not?
Yes, yes, it is. And did we mention that the West Virginia State Chapter of the Chamber of Commerce is working hard to curtail disability benefits for coal miners suffering from black lung disease?
Of course they are.
You bastard!
And finally, Sarah Palin spent her weekend recycling at a Tea Party rally in Searchlight, Nevada. Former Republican vice presidential candidate and half-term Alaska governor Sarah Palin recycled all the old campaign slogans and conventional energy policies from the 2008 election.
Like this one?
We do need to drill here and drill now.
She was attacking Democrats for trying to develop a clean energy economy.
And we need to jumpstart energy projects because Congress and those in the White House choose to not allow us to develop our own God-given resources in the United States of America.
She's talking about our God-given resources in the middle of the Nevada desert this weekend, not once talking about that great big giant glowing orb above her head and the free energy resources that are raining down on her. She's a genius, and my ears are still bleeding. For much more on that, check out our website, greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Okay?
Gonna get along without you now.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do?
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention
$24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
Johnny Cool was king, he was the leader of the people. He never caused no trouble in a rumble, made some noise. He heard about some chick and the way she likes to rock. He said, come here, honey, let me see you lift up your frock. Showdown.
Five minutes before the hour as we cruise toward the end of tonight's Tuesday night edition of The Horn. I am, of course, Bob. And you know what? With this kind of time remaining, let's make sure we don't end with any blinking lights, as has been my unhappy want of late. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up?
Not a whole lot. You know, every time I hear about Sarah Palin, that woman is absolutely crazy. And, you know, she's just another, I guess, she reminds me of Anita Bryant, to take in her own way, just absolutely nuts. And if anybody's been drilling at her, I think somebody's been drilling through her ocular orbit and giving her a lobotomy.
Yeah, it's interesting you would mention that, Jim, because just in the chat room a few minutes ago, Lottie mentioned they were drilling in her head looking for brains, and I just typed back, dry hole.
You got it. But, you know, dovetailing on what one of your earlier callers said about this new device in Australia, now this is really something because it is going to help people with retinitis pigmentosa and also macular degeneration. And this may be a 1.0 type thing, but it basically consists of implants into what is left into the retina, and also it's affixed to a pair of glasses the person can wear. And it can really do an awful lot. And what I think, for example, DOD spends almost $1 billion a year in implementing don't ask, don't tell. Okay?
Right, yeah.
If they could take money like this and pour it into research that could restore people's sight, which is something that Jesus Christ did when he was physically present on this earth, I think it would certainly be a hell of a lot more in line with what he taught and preached than it would be for people to carry guns and make people's lives miserable. These assholes are just posturing around, and they don't know, they wouldn't know Christian charity if it bit them in the ass.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, if you have to hole up in the Michigan woods and your concept of preserving the gospel is to go out on a cop-killing spree, no, you'd be just as likely to kill Jesus Christ himself if he showed up and told you not to do it. And I mean, it's just that simple.
I don't understand their mentality. I don't understand why they don't have anything better else to do than something like this and to, go around and posture and wear these ridiculous costumes and talk about taking their government back. Yeah, like you said, taking it back to when? The 18th century, the 16th century, or whatever. I don't understand this. But, you know, if only our government could take some of the money it spends on destroying lives and making people's lives miserable and devote it to medical research such as this.
Well, it certainly, now you mentioned retinitis pigmentosa and macular degeneration, both of which are, they ultimately lead to blindness.
They're irreversible.
But by the same token, if you consider that you hate to even use a phrase like this, Jim, but the signature injury coming out of our misadventures in Iraq and Afghanistan are head injuries, traumatic brain injury, TBI, as it is now designated by the CDC.
I have a second cousin who has that, Bob.
Oh, my God. And you consider that blindness is something that comes with some of those head and brain injuries. Frankly, we will probably first see that come into some sort of regular usage, because the military will find it a humane thing to offer wounded veterans.
I would think so. I mean, you can't have these huge devices going off near a person's skull without causing TBI, which has a whole spectrum of lifetime horrors.
Oh.
I mean, not psychological, physiological, every other way. I mean, you know, the human brain is encased in the skull, and the skull can only take so much. But, you know, here is the thing. God help these poor people who are suffering from this. And if we could, you know, without being parochial, like Dr. Gallo was with the AIDS thing back in the 80s, and just pool our resources and at least attempt to help blind men walk and crippled men see. I mean, blind men see and crippled men walk.
It doesn't seem that complicated, does it, Jim?
Not to me. And my faith is very simple. And in that simplicity is the elegance of humanity.
Well, you know, I think back, one of the great early physicians of the classical antiquity was Galen, was he not, Jim? And most of what he learned in what he wrote about for physicians of his era, he learned because he was given permission to travel and do battlefield surgery.
Right.
As much
Paracelsus and other, you know, people like that, they were, yes.
And as much as you hate to admit it, tremendous research has come from that, as horrible as it is to contemplate. But, you know, you kind of have to do that because that's where you're going to see the absolute worst, generally, of what human bodies are able to tolerate and still remain functionally living.
Well, you know, the forerunners of plastic surgery really started in trying to correct some of the horrors wrought by World War I. And if you can see some of the pictures of some of those poor bastards who came out of that war and the things that they had to do, but at least it was a start. And, I mean, these guys look like something out of Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, yeah, I've seen some of those photographs. And you mentioned Don't Ask, Don't Tell. This is one of those sad little stories that you wish wasn't real. But the Obama administration Department of Justice, if you can imagine this, has been reduced in court because they're being sued. I think it goes back to 2004, a lawsuit filed by the Log Cabin Republicans against the Pentagon over Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Well, the Obama administration Justice Department is now in the position of having to defend that lawsuit, and they are actually quoting, despite the fact that Colin Powell has since made clear that he is very much opposed to Don't Ask, Don't Tell and feels it should be repealed. Nonetheless, the Obama administration Department of Justice submitted a brief yesterday that cites opinion from Colin Powell from almost two decades ago in favor of continuing a ban on gays in the military. It's just pathetic. I saw that earlier today and just wanted to scream.
Yeah, the first time I ever heard of the term log cabin Republicans, I was talking to a captain in the Army, and he said, Jim, a log cabin Republican, he said, are you talking about gay Republicans? And he said to me, aren't these people kind of walking oxymorons?
And they certainly are. But then again, if you, at least those are out gay Republicans. It's my position that the Republican Party is the biggest closet on earth. And
they're out, all right. They're out of their damn minds. I mean, you know, I just can't understand that lack of compassion and humanity, particularly when it is directed against people who want to honestly and honorably serve their country. And the cost of enforcing this law, which is unenforceable, if that money could be spent better elsewhere.
Oh, when you consider that some right-winger within the last month made the statement that we need to keep Don't Ask, Don't Tell in place because if we let people serve, people who are gay, serve openly in the military, it would be a front to the Muslim terrorists? Did you catch that one?
Yes. That is the...
You know, it's the constant dynamic tension between the 21st century and the 11th. It really, really is, Jim.
There you go. Well, listen, you've got other callers, and I just wanted to interject that, and I'm glad that your friend David brought it up, because that's a wonderful thing, and it is Victorious Tuesday.
Indeed. I can't wait to see how it gets deployed. I hope it gets deployed quickly. Jim, take care, and good talking to you.
Okay, you take care. God bless.
Bye now. That's Jim calling from not too awfully far from here. And we go on. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey.
Hey, I'm calling regards to what Lee was asking you about earlier.
Which part?
About the climate change thing.
Oh, okay, sure, sure.
By
yeah.
the way.
Yeah, I recognize your voice, Sparky.
Got me to thinking about something. I sent you an email with the NASA Earth Observatory.
Right.
If you click on the link there, there's a whole bunch of places. There's one that it'll show you a mountaintop removal, a time change from 1984 to 2009.
Yeah, of the Hobet mine.
Yeah. And there's other places in the world that it shows changes in.
Stunning, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The thing just... If you watch it, the thing just grows like a cancer. But, yeah, go ahead.
What got me to thinking about that is back in 2008, when I was living under the smoke cloud of the forest fires, I'd saved the Earth Observatory link of the smoke that I had to live underneath for 45 days. So I just wanted to pass that on to people. You know, this is a government...
official government product, yeah.
Yeah, you can look at and you can actually see what's going on. We don't have to go to Mars or anything NASA posts all this stuff. There's all kinds of articles on there. And
you know, even though there are parts of the photographs that are so-called reclaimed and turn this sort of light tannish green, that's yeah. reclamation, Sparky. And it must be remembered that you can't plant an apple tree on that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't grow alfalfa for your cattle. The only thing that'll grow are invasive non-native grasses that are a net loss for the entire region. And remember that every last bit of earth that was disturbed and destroyed as a result of that Hobet mine, every last bit of it had water associated with it in some manner.
Mm-hmm.
And that water is all poisonous.
Well, we have the same thing here with the old copper mines. I mean, you can zoom in on the copper mine that's here, and everything, the land is poisoned, and it'll stay that way forever. Nothing will grow there.
And God knows the companies aren't going to come back and clean it up. The only remedy for any of this stuff is to shut it down. And for the people of the United States, much to our own chagrin and on our own hook, to clean it up and never let the sons of bitches get near it again. Especially these old works. I mean, you might find this interesting, Sparky. We had a report over the weekend of a 2.5 magnitude earthquake in West Virginia. That's nothing compared to some earthquake zones that I'm aware of. But there's only one problem. We don't have earthquakes in West Virginia. We don't even have a natural lake in West Virginia. We don't have any major fault lines running through West Virginia. What that was an underground collapse of a bunch of coal pillars. And that's how much shaking took place out of it. Now, all those old mines, they're full of water. And you, as many others do, know that water seeks its own level.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when the collapses are under the Brushy Fork impoundment or under the Shoemate impoundment above Marsh Fork Elementary? What happens when it's there?
The whole thing collapses.
Yeah. And they don't care. They just don't care. Sparky, I'm going to try to hit a couple more. I'm glad you called in with that idea. I appreciate it.
Yeah, just wanted to share it.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
Later. Bye.
Bye.
Sparky calling from California. Onward. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Brian from New Hampshire. I'm tuning in late. I'm sorry if you already covered this. I'll get off quickly and get on to the next caller. But you know the great songstress Erica Badu?
Yes, I do.
Okay, she's just she released a video. It's called Window Seat. And she, going from a commondreams.org piece from today, Tuesday, Evolution, the JFK Assassination, and Groupthink. She shed her clothes as she strolled along a Dallas sidewalk until she was nude, then fell right near where an X marked the spot there, too, where JFK was hit in the head, was assassinated. The result, a new video released Saturday for her song Window Seat. And it's, she came up with the idea, to quote from Erica, there's this brave young woman there. And, the people, the bystanders were calling out, they were yelling at her. She put this on her tweet, her Twitter, whatever that. She put that on her tweet that they were yelling at her. This is a public place. You ought to be ashamed. Put your clothes on, damn girl, et cetera. Yeah, they ought to be ashamed of some real, like people that lie us into war, the people that lied us about JFK's assassination, about this pope that covered up for demon criminals, child molesting criminals. That's the real obscenity. It's not this beautiful girl there, what she did, and beautiful in her heart and soul for looking for the truth. It was filmed, she was saying, it was filmed Saturday just before St. Patrick's Day. It was a pretty spontaneous thing. The song Window Seat is about liberating yourself from layers and layers of skin or demons that are a hindrance to your growth or freedom or evolution. I want to do something that said just that. I wanted to think about shedding, nudity, taking parts off, taking things off in a very artful way. I am from the theater, Erica says, and this is just a part of expression to us, a part of it all. And she also goes on to say, this is from her YouTube description. You can find it, Bob, at ericabadu.com. I'll spell that out for your folks there. www.erykahbadu.com. And it's at the YouTube description, the YouTube videos there. Symbolism, the sister is shedding her superficial layers, exposing herself to the world, facilitating her own evolution. She is assassinated at the end only to raise again in her evolved state. This is a reference to the JFK assassination. And at the end there, she says in one of her tweets there, Erica Badu says, Tuesday morning post on Twitter, she says, quote, the butt naked truth is powerful, America. And she's right about that. And I want to just add to that, Bob, there, that this empire has no clothes. The Democratic Republic is long gone there. God love the caller was just on it, two callers ago, I believe, with the relative there that has the brain injuries from the concussive effect of these huge bombs. The fact is, anybody that goes in the service now, you're fighting for corporate America and multinational thieves. Don't go, it's not the America of World War II, and not even of the Korean War, and even of the Cold War any longer. These thieves have got to be stopped, and this empire has no clothes, and we need the truth on JFK, we need the truth on September 11th, and the stolen elections, and all of that, and the lies that brought us into Iraq, where we have enslaved those people there for their oil, and the Afghan people there as well.
We need a wholesale Truth and Reconciliation Commission.
Absolutely.
For the United States of America.
Absolutely, and we can't give up. And this brave young woman is a great, she's showing a great sign, a beautiful ebony empress of decency, of democracy, and the truth can never, she makes a piece about, it's a paragraph, it's too long to talk about, but groupthink is one of the most evil things there. You don't want to bring up 9/11 or the truth about the towers falling, the controlled demolition, and be polite. But that, you can't be polite all the time about these things. You gotta be like Greg Palast. We gotta all be like him in a citizen journalist kind of way. And I'll let you go, though, buddy, and get back to the other callers here. But if you can look that up at Common Dreams and NewYorkDailyNews.com, too, about Erica Badu. Her new album is also called,
Brian, you just triggered our pop culture correspondent, David in Maine, has already sent me the link to the video, so I will go
okay.
And have a look.
Okay. Have a good night, sir.
All right. Thank you, Brian.
Bye,
you take
bye.
Care. Bye now.
God bless you.
That's Brian calling from New Hampshire. And we got time for one more phone call, if the person is still there. Ah, doggone it, you bailed out on me. So that's, what a night. Let's see. Got an email here from our critic at large, Reverbo. Going back to the Hatari or the Huttery or the Hooteries. You know, I get the extra spicy Hooterie's wings. No, stop. No, Reverbo says, you know, the Michigan militia clowns and all the rest of those idiots just reminds me of the typical Dungeons and Dragons middle boys who never grew up. Aren't y'all getting a little too old for this? Just, do you think any of them have girlfriends? Jobs? Everybody knows these kinds of guys. You just want to go up to them and say, and who are you supposed to be? But, of course, the reply would be something clever like, who wants to know, asshole? Says Reverbo, it's so pathetic. Too bad those are real guns, though. Yeah, too bad. And they're real guns and with real bullets. And on the anniversary of the end of Waco and the anniversary of the Oklahoma City bombing, some of these dumbasses, including the lard-ass Mike Vanderbooger from Pinson, Tennessee, you know, the guy who is disabled, but is still trying to take down that socialist Social Security. He's going to be a speaker. He's going to be a speaker at the D.C. Armed March on Washington. See, there's no need to have one of these unless you're trying to get in somebody's face and provoke a response so that you can get out your blue steel masturbation tools and fire them off. Sexy. And just in case you were wondering, yeah, they've answered the question, the teabaggers. They showed up with the animatronic device that is known as Larry King on what used to be a reputable news outfit called CNN. And a couple of teabaggers were asked, Dana Loesch, a teabagger from Missouri, and Wayne Allen Root, another teabagger, were on the TV box to talk about it. And of course, they were on message, because there's unprecedented, unconstitutional reach of the health care mandate. So, Larry King, or the computer that plays Larry King, I'm not sure which. Larry King may be some of Disney's best work. It's kind of hard to tell. Larry King asked them if they'd like to do away with Social Security. Their response? Well, okay. Larry King.
Would anyone turn away Social Security now? Would you do away with it?
Dana Loesch.
I would, yes.
You would?
Yes, absolutely.
And would you do away with it, Wayne?
I'd certainly like to. At best, I'd do away with it because I could find better ways to spend and save my own $15,000 a year.
Well, there you go, her pig-licking party. You want them? You can have them. With the caveat that a former president of the United States, one of your guys, Dwight D. Eisenhower, did say in correspondence some many years back, about a half century, and he writing to a cousin or something, and he said, any political party that advocates the end of Social Security will cease to be a national political party almost overnight. So you just snuggle right up to the teabaggers there, Repig Lickens. You just snuggle right up. Get real comfortable with them. Can you say Whig? Yeah, I didn't think so. By the way, Wayne Allen Root, he's one of the types. He says he's an investment genius. And he got that title by handicapping sports events in Vegas. You know, playing with somebody else's money. Can't beat that house money. Jesus. So that's the Tuesday night program. Where the heck did it go? You guys certainly were busy this evening, and I'm glad of it. Please make sure that you're around tomorrow evening for prayer meeting. And I will say simply this. We are almost fresh out of March, and we are just close, and that close, to actually meeting the March fundraising goal. Granted, the March fundraising goal isn't the fundraising that we need to, you know, pay everybody, but it actually takes care of the bills. And we're within a couple of $100 of actually doing it. God, that would be nice. And so, you know, as we approach, maybe tomorrow night I can say, hey, you know, we got a couple of $100 in, we're done, and we did it with one day to spare. So if you haven't lately, one, and if you are able, two, go ahead and hit the PayPal button or use the snail mail address. Either way is fine. Because all of this only happens because some of you are determined that liberal, independent, non-corporatized information should be out there. And for that, all of us at the Horn are extremely grateful. So thanks to you. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, and coalriverwind.org. Thanks to everybody who helps make all of this go, whether it's John Fox, Peter Godbold, Ben Birch, or Sue, Lottie, moderators in the chat room. Sue writes as the ranting keyboard at headonradionetwork.com. Thanks to our other writers, folks like Reverbo.
thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy, getting the word out about the horn. Thanks to Matt Osborne at OsborneInc.com. And thanks to my head writer, David, in Tennessee. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you.
Conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome to the program for this Tuesday evening, the 30th day of March, only one day left in the month. Then we get down to the business of April. April is, after all, the cruelest month. Of course it is. But anyway, we're almost done. We're almost done with March. And this is Tuesday, so therefore it is a technically unthemed show. You know what I mean? It's a squeaky thing. Okay, it may have to go out of the technical. It's a windscreen. Yeah, phooey. Well, they have to ditch it anyway. It's squeaky things. Hey, look, we're on the air. I'm just grateful. Okay? Everything worked. No, it's an unthemed evening, and there's lots of places we can go. But I don't know. Sometimes it's too. I worry sometimes it's too easy, these things. I worry that, you know, the show is writing itself. You know, just my right wingers being right wingers. But I'm sorry. I'm just like a trout rising to a mayfly on a breezy spring afternoon. You know, it's going to happen. Sue, tell the cat that it is welcome to the squeaky thing. Maybe it sounds like a mouse. I don't know. Okay, all better. Maybe it'll stay put. Who knows? Oh, and hey, before I get too far into the program, a big congratulations and a shout-out to our dear friends Mike and Kathy Malloy for an excellent job with the Malloy cast last night. If you're not checking it out over at Ustream, yes, you should be. It's just kind of fun to watch Mike work with the occasional "Hi, how are you?" into the screen from Kathy. They did a great job. They did a truly great job. It was a solid picture all the way through.
And for doing it on the fly, wow. Just wow. I can't imagine, sooner or later I'll be trying to do that here, but there's going to have to be some spring cleaning. That's all there is to it. That's all there is to it. We're going to have to do some spring cleaning. Can't get around it. And it, because I've just about run myself out of my own studio. Just have to. And you know, it's not anything nasty. It's just, you know, the books that go into doing the show and computer equipment and audio equipment and, you know what I mean? Yeah, I figured you did. Agnes and I were talking about some interior decor ideas earlier today for making this more camera-friendly. Although, I don't know. Instead of having a nice, my world, my mind is not nice and tidy and orderly. And the world around me sort of reflects that, frankly. There's pictures and flashlights and screwdrivers and drive-by truckers' cozies. And let's see, I've got this. This is one of my favorites here, apart from my gargoyle buddies. They will have to remain in the shot. This was sent to me by David in Tennessee some long time back, and it's apparently a printing error from, you know, those cup companies that, you know, your name here, your organization here, and you give away the plastic cups. This is from the Cornerstone Community Church at 6639 St. Mary's Road, Floyd's Knobs, Indiana. I just don't want to go to Floyd's Knobs, Indiana. It's probably, for all I know, that's where the Hooteries are. And a website. But on the obverse side from it's like I've already got a camera because I'm rotating it to show the people at home. On the obverse of the cup from Cornerstone Community Church of Floyd's Knobs, Indiana, is the phrase, "Need field up." You'd almost think that came from the Diocese of Milwaukee. Bad Bob. Bad. Bad, bad liberal talk show host. Bad. That was cheap and easy, and you shouldn't have gone for it. But yeah, it's one of my favorite little gymcrats around here. Need field up? And it's always there to remind me. Any time I'm feeling spiritually low, that I can always go to the Cornerstone Community Church of Floyd's Knobs, Indiana, and get filled up. I don't know how Agnes would feel about that. But it got me thinking along those lines. And I'm still full of trepidation at the idea of doing video. Simply, made the cat jump again. But, you know, we will get to it. Because apparently, I mean, just looking from the numbers of people that went over to see the Malloy show, golly Moses, everybody wants to watch a single camera static shot. You know, I imagine Mike is probably as baffled by that as I am. But, you know, if that's what you guys want, you know, you're running this show. You're the reason this thing's still going on. And you will get what you want, and you've said you want video, so that's what we'll work on. Okay, so enough of that. Time to get into the program. It's about 7 minutes past the hour, and like I said, sometimes it's just too easy. It is just